To call this meeting to order with a roll call, starting with the secretary.
Patty Heft here.
Greg Mattson here.
Ed Delgado here.
Brandon Stevens here.
Paul Linham.
Melinda Danforth Gunto.
Okay, Paul, for the record, Vince has notified us that he'll be in about 15 minutes. He's in his office on a conference call. Also, the treasurer, Tina Danforth, is at the Longhouse participating in the naming ceremony for her granddaughter. Okay. Paul Linham has volunteered to do the opening this morning.
Da onika joko swale hunsi yoste ona chitna te o handu yuli motetu segun skijat wa we no ni got ni gula jak we go skana you gonna tuni da 22 hak you got ni go segun skijat wa we no ni got ni gula da tino kladu yunki nu ha huncha chit segu yo tli wanda chiro hari da 22 hak you got ni go segun skijat wa we no ni got ni gula da he tono kladu asana te gut dat noon da le chit segu akwe gu ya go tli wanda chiro hari da 22 hak you got ni go Segun skichet what when only you got Nigula de Hitona Ladu and on you qua cheat segu you got the huddy that 22 hook you got Nigo. Segun skichet what when only you got Nigula de Hitona Ladu, Naya Degalu dagke, cheat segu lotly one and jedu huddy that 22 hook you got Nigo. Segun skichet what when only you got Nigula de Hitona Ladu, Ochida Hasuha, cheat segu ya quakwandun haji that 22 hook you got Nigo. Segun skichet what when only you got Nigula de Hitona Ladu, Ladison Kayontesi, cheat segu lotly one and jedu huddy da 22 hook you got Nigo. Segun skichet what when only you got Nigula de Hitona Ladu, then Sukwachiha, Guanageka, Juanita lay, cheat segu lotly one and jedu huddy da 22 hook you got Nigo. Segun skichet what when only you got Nigula de Hitona Ladu, then Yuki Sota, Gua Hosurigeka, Juanita lay, cheat segu lotly one and jedu huddy da 22 hook you got Nigo. Segun skichet wa weno ni gwat ni gula de hetona wala du ne yoti stokwa lu chi segu lotli di wana jedu hari da 22 hok yu gwani go. Segun skichet wa weno ni gwat ni gula de hetona wala du gai ni yon dugwe da ge yugi ni gula dadi da 22 hok yu gwani go. Segun skichet wa weno ni gwat ni gula de hetona wala du ne sunkwa I disu ne ole wa kwe gula we on a down da 22 hok yu gwani go. Da shwilke kachoko nen to niole wat kut koi ni nen gan hit la dunsla nen gat kut not nun duck to dokta nen skudilik nen to niole wat kut koi ni nen o hua wage why I want to hari ganalagu da 22 hoki guani go daha
yeah
thank you councilman special recognitions Oneida One Stop will be presenting a $500 Exxon Mobil grant awards to each of the four schools. We'll do that first.
Yep, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Michelle Dockstader, the Enterprise Division Director, or the Retail Division Director, will be up here to present a check in the amount of $500. Well, we'll do that together. We'll present a check in the amount of $500 to each of these four schools. Pulaski, Lanois Elementary, Freedom Middle and Elementary Schools, and Seymour Rockledge Intermediate School. In front of us are representatives of those schools. Michelle, do you know who they are? Oh, that would be great. Yeah, why don't you guys go stand over there by the microphone, and then they can do that. I'll just give an overview of what the presentation is. And the Oneida One-Stop operation in partnership with ExxonMobil, they've been working together as partners in one of ExxonMobil's programs, and this is the fifth year that they have had this partnership where they identify schools to award grants. About 4,000 schools receive a $500 grant, and these are four of those 4,000 schools that get some grant money. And, you know, it's not $1 million, but every little bit these days now helps in the public school system to buy necessary supplies. So on behalf of the tribe and on behalf of the work of the retail division, we're really excited and pleased to be able to, again, in partnership with ExxonMobil, award schools in our area where a lot of our kids go for their education these checks. Michelle, is there anything else you want to say?
Chris Jandry here is from Exxon, or from U.S. Oil. He actually works really hard to get these grants done for us. It's a lot of legwork, and I really appreciate his efforts in getting that done. So thank you, Chris.
And as a representative, do you want to say anything about the importance of this work?
Well, I just, we're just the facilitator of the grant. We work closely with ExxonMobil, and we coordinate the grants. We make sure that all of our dealers are aware that the grants are available, and we want to make sure that that money is in the hands of our local communities and with our representatives that we support.
Thank you very much. The one-stops are sort of a diamond in the rough for the tribe. They've been one of those enterprises that the tribe has established and has been a really good place for tribal members to begin their careers, their working careers. A lot of employees start in their teens, and it's an entry-level job where they learn a lot of skills that they leverage, and later on they become business committee members, division directors themselves, and other positions across the organization. So the one-stops have been important for us. We have 5 locations. Is that right, Michelle? 6 locations. And we're excited to soon announce, too, we'll be redeveloping the one-stop that's here in the corner that everyone is familiar with at the intersection of Seminary Road and Highway 54. So we're really pleased. Okay, Michelle, why don't you go ahead and introduce each person and present those checks.
Pete Kempen from Rockledge Intermediate School in Seymour.
Here you go. Thank you.
Ken Fisher from Freedom Middle School.
Karen Baumgartner from Freedom Elementary School.
Thank you very much. Business committee members, I don't know if you want to shake hands like you traditionally do. These people help educate our kids, and we're really pleased about that.
Okay, we also have some very special recognition for years of service. We have Joy Lynn Cornelius, 40 years as a tribal employee. Joy Lynn?
What? Is that a misprint?
40 years of teaching our children. Wow, that's really something. We also have Philip D. Skenador, 30 years. Is he here? Okay. 30 years. 25 years, Carla J. Clark. Thank you, Carla. And Joanne Stino, also 25 years.
So, Mr. Chairman, our HR director, Geraldine Danforth, will then invite each of the respective supervisors up to the microphone. They'll say something special about each person and present them their certificate.
Good morning. I'd like to talk a little bit about the years of service. We started this several years ago to recognize our employees for their dedication and commitment to the organization. When we come before the business committee, it's for 25 years or more. So I always like to talk about what happened when those people were here in the tribe those many years ago. So 35 years ago, the Galiwisox cost a quarter. It was a photocopy printed on legal size paper. The Green Bay and Western Railroad Company decided to close the Oneida Railroad Station in Oneida. 30 years ago, cigarettes at the Oneida Tobacco Enterprise increased from $6.75 a carton to $7. A handwritten advertisement in the Gully Wee Sox about fresh produce and meat at the One Stop. Food stamps are now being accepted. 25 years ago, the first Oneida Environmental Ordinance was passed by the Oneida Business Committee. It was titled Oneida On-Site Waste Disposal Ordinance. And in 25 years ago, the Indian Gaming Regulatory Act of 1988 was passed by the U.S. Congress. So with that, I would like to start out with recognizing Joylyn Cornelius for 40 years of service. If you'd like to come up, Joanne, and your supervisor, to say a few words.
I don't know where to begin. Joylyn has a heart of gold. When you see her working with our students, it brings tears to your eyes. She's so gentle and nurturing and caring. She's a very valued member of our staff. And even though she's only been there 40 years, I hope she continues many more. She's just wonderful, and I so much appreciate all her hard work and dedication.
I just wanted to say on behalf of the Oneida Nation School Board that we are very appreciative and want to congratulate Joylyn for her years of service. It's quite an accomplishment, and we are very proud. I can say that I've probably been on the school board about half of those years, but I've seen all of her work, and we're very appreciative of her being present within our school system. Yanko.
Next, we have Phil Skenador with 30 years of service and his supervisor, Gudgie Danforth.
Good morning. I had to help him up, up here. but we just wanted to recognize Phil has provided 30 years of continuous service and commitment to the Oneida Tribe. Throughout the years, Philip has worked in bingo, retail, the Oneida Police Department, and has been with the Internal Security for the last 18 years. He has had an extensive knowledge of gaming, standard operating procedures, policies, and is viewed as a resource to his peers. Through his daily actions, he continues to demonstrate teamwork and dependability, which is a reflection of his dedication to the Oneida Tribe. Thank you. Bill. Thank you.
Next, we have Joanne Steenel and her supervisor, John Janier.
Hi, I'm John Janier. I'm Joanne's supervisor at the lab at the clinic. Joanne's been working for 25 years at the clinic. I've been fortunate enough to work with her for 7 years. Joanne, if you could clone an employee who has hard work ethic, always comes to work on time, always volunteers for doing extra things, Joanne is it. And I'm very happy that she's still here, and hopefully she'll work a long time with us.
And next we have Carla Clark, who has 25 years of service, and Pat Pelkey will be speaking on her behalf.
I'm subbing today for Eleanor Smith, but I did get to work with Carla here just for a short time, probably the last 6 months, but what Eleanor really did have to say about her is she's really brought integrity to the Division of Land Management Title and Trust Department. But one of the things I've known about her, that she's one of those quiet leaders within the division. She always got a smile on her face, and she's not afraid to speak up when she says, hey, something's just, I think we can fix this, or I think we can improve this. Like to be part of that. So she has great suggestions, and she's willing to help out where it's needed, and I'm very appreciative of that. And I know Eleanor wish she could be here today to kind of congratulate. 25 years of service is just incredible. Thank you.
That will be it for presentations. Thank you, and congratulations to all. The committee would like to come down and shake hands.
You know, anytime you dedicate 20, 25, 30, 30 40 years working for your people and working for your community, and that's really something, and it's real special that we're able to do this and recognize these employees and community members, whether they're Oneida or not Oneida, they're still part of this community, and thank you. Okay, well, we're going to approve our agenda. Do we have any additions, deletions, Madam Secretary? Okay. I guess we could entertain a motion to approve the agenda as provided. Motion by second. Melinda Danforth, seconded by Paul Ninham. Discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Next on the agenda is the oath of office, Oneida Child Protective Board, Jeanette Ninham and Carol Silva.
Aye. And raise your right hand and repeat after me. And then I'll state your names and you can repeat after me. I, Jeanette Ninham and Carol Silva. Okay. Yeah, repeat after me. Okay. It's just the, you know. I, Carol Silva, Jeanette Ninham, hereby promise to uphold the laws and regulations of the Oneida Tribe of Indians of Wisconsin, the General Tribal Council, and the Tribal Constitution. I will perform my duties to the best of my ability and on behalf of the Oneida people with honor, respect, dignity, and sincerity, and will maintain confidential information with the strictest confidentiality. I will carry out the duties and responsibilities as a member of the Oneida Child Protective Board, and all recommendations shall be made in the best interest of the Oneida Tribe as a whole. Thank you. Welcome aboard. Yeah, thank you for your service. too busy getting ready for the meeting.
Minutes to be approved. November 13th, 2013, regular meeting minutes.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion made to approve, seconded by Paul Linham. Motion made by Melinda Danforth. Discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. I guess if we go through, as we go through this, if you could identify yourself when you make your motion and when you second it. November 22nd, 2013, emergency meeting minutes.
Mr. Chairman, move to approve. Councilman Ninham.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second.
Councilman Stevens.
Second. We have a second. Discussion. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. December 2013, regular meeting minutes.
Patty Heft, motion to approve.
We have a motion to approve.
Support by Melinda.
Support. Discussion. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. December 18th to 20th to the 24th, 2013 emergency meeting minutes.
Mr. Chairman, move to approve. Councilman Ninham.
Motion to approve.
Patty Heft, second.
We have a second. Discussion. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain.
Abstain.
Motion carries. One abstention. Greg Mattson. December 2013.
Patty Heft, motion to approve.
Support.
A motion to approve. We have a second. Discussion. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain. Motion carries. December 30th, 2013, emergency meeting minutes.
Mr. Chair, move to approve. Councilman Ninham.
I have a motion to approve.
Patty Heft, second.
We have a second. Discussion. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain?
Abstain, Melinda.
One abstention, Melinda Danforth. Motion carries. Resolutions. Tribal election fines imposed on campaign sign restrictions per Oneida election law.
Motion to adopt the resolution.
We have a motion to adopt the resolution. Melinda Danforth.
Second.
Second by, we have a second. Discussion.
Just a brief explanation. Okay. So back in 2011, the business committee adopted a standard operating procedure that would allow for the election board to issue campaign fines for those people who are leaving their signs out, whatever, in the wrong spot. And the business committee at that time was presented with this resolution and did not adopt the resolution at the time. So the election board, with the pending elections coming forward, is asking us to do so at this time. So,
Michelle Mays.
Michelle Mays with the Legislative Reference Office. In my statement of effect, I just wanted to draw your attention to that statement of effect. The resolution doesn't actually resolve what is required in the law, and that is my concern. And so in my conclusion, in my statement of effect, I do give some additional options to the business committee. Probably the easiest for the business committee would actually to amend the resolve to specifically set the fines for violation, because that is what the law states, is that the business committee would pass a resolution that would set the fines. And if you read the specific wording in the resolution, all you're doing is actually adopting, make sure I'm going to the right one. It said you were approving something about language to approving the SOP that they had, which isn't actually adopting the fines. So the concern would be that this is an old resolution. It should be reviewed and probably revised so that it does comply with the law.
Patty?
Would it be helpful, Michelle, if we maybe didn't take action today and ask that they work with your office and then together you can bring back a resolution that's in order?
I could do that, yes.
I'll withdraw my motion.
Okay.
Sure. Thank
okay,
you.
The motion has been withdrawn. The support has been withdrawn. What is the wish of the committee?
Mr. Chairman, I'll move to refer this back to the Legislative Reference Office and to redraft the resolution and back here in 2 weeks.
We have a motion by Paul Ninham.
Support.
Supported by Vince De La Rosa. Discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Thank you. Resolution number 2, CY 2014 County Tribal Law Enforcement Grant, Brown County, State of Wisconsin, Department of Justice. Joni Buckley is the sponsor.
Motion to approve.
We have a motion by Patty Heff to approve the
second.
Resolution, seconded by Paul Ninham. Discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. CY 2014 County Tribal Law Enforcement Grant, Outagamie County.
Patty Heff, motion to adopt the resolution.
We have a motion to adopt the resolution.
Support.
Patty Heff. Support by Melinda Danforth. Discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Are we in number 4?
Yes.
Okay. Designate Wingate Hotel room tax collections to fund Wingate Hotel property capital expenses.
Mr. Chairman?
Patty?
I make a motion to defer this to your office and bring us back a new recommendation in 2 weeks.
We have a motion to defer to my office and to bring you back a new recommendation in 2 weeks. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Brandon Stevens.
Mr. Chair.
Discussion.
Mr. Chair.
Vince.
I support the resolution. I noted my staff caught a technical issue, which, you know, the monies are supposed to go to the Treasury. We're making a little change here. Potentially it's being deferred. So I do support, you know, as we've discussed yesterday, using the money locally. I understand how we're using it now, so we can get into more of those details as you work on this project.
Melinda.
I just had more of a legal question and, you know, making sure that the charter doesn't demand anything of it. So mine is more from a legal perspective that I would hope that you would look at and making sure that we're not overstepping the boundaries within the charter or asking by adopting the resolution.
Which
charter? The Hotel Corporation.
Patty.
Mr. Chairman, I know as we had talked, we've been talking about room tax for several months. And for me personally, my belief is that when we charge a tax, there are different reasons to tax consumers. You know, one is to raise money so that we can fund programs and services that a lot of people are familiar with. Those kinds of taxes fund, like, policing, garbage pickup, landfills, et cetera. Taxes are also imposed to raise revenue for different special initiatives. For instance, the sales tax in Brown County has an additional tax that half percent of that tax is used to fund the construction of Lambeau Field. The hotel room tax, and then there are regulatory taxes as well, taxes meant to force the consumer to think twice before they engage in a certain activity, such as smoking or drinking alcohol. You know, and those are meant to kind of promote the public policy of, you know, what a community wants, what kind of behavior a community wants. So maybe they put a high tax on cigarettes to curb smoking, maybe smoking by youth. But the hotel room tax is a new kind of a tax meant to raise revenue for a specific purpose, which is to help fund tourism in most cases, so that it allows communities to fund a marketing unit that would go out and around the globe and try to attract visitors who would serve as customers of hotels. What a tax like that, and that's what this kind of tax is. But my belief is that a tax like this should not be used in order to continue to fund the operations of the hotel. I think that's misleading, and I think that's the public policy question for us to think about, is that if our hotels need extra revenue in order to improve their operations and improve the facility, then, you know, one of two things could happen is that they increase the room rate so that consumers, so it's clear with the consumer that the cost of the room is used to fund the operation of the hotel. Or that the owner of the hotel invests capital in it in order to make improvements. But you should not have an additional tax imposed in there where the consumer isn't watching in most cases and has trust in the government that the tax is being used for a specific purpose. And so in this case, if we were to impose an additional charge to our consumers in the form of a tax, without letting them know what the tax is for, I think it's misleading. And so those are the kinds of things I'm hoping that in the next 2 weeks we'll talk more about and come back with a clearer public policy position.
Brandon and then
Janice. Okay. I'm in support of the motion. I just think we had a good discussion yesterday on this, and I think we didn't really finish the discussion on what direction we wanted to go, and I think more strategies that need to be involved in moving forward, especially with the municipalities. So that's my position.
Mm-hmm. Janice?
Good morning to the council. I just wanted to give you some more input and something to look at. The reason why we went after the room tax is because we knew it was a one-year contract. Also to remind the council that it's been 5 years that we've owned that, and this is the first year that we've made any money, and not enough to do the capital improvements. So the room tax was something when the term ended with the contract with Ashwaubenon, we felt that we could look at that money for capital improvement. In improving the dollars would go toward improving the rooms. By improving the rooms that have not been updated since we've owned that in 5 years, we could increase the room rate because the rooms were better, therefore increasing the revenue. And that's what we're looking at to put the dollars forth. I understand the municipalities and how you have to work with them, so I just wanted to bring that little bit of information. We do collect about $120,000 on an annual basis in room tax, and that would be 40% is what we're looking at to put back into the facility. So just FYI. Thank you.
And we are appreciative of the Radisson increasing their revenues. That's great. The issue is here is raising. How do we maximize our customer base and maximize our ability to bring in customers? Is it through? It's utilizing the efforts of the whole community as a whole. Having our facilities advertised and run through all these other municipalities, and it's cooperation between the municipalities. It's money flowing between the different entities of this part of Wisconsin. Versus using it right away. That's a question that we need to discuss more. Maybe we don't have the right answer, but that's our charge right now. But we do recognize that the hotel board and the hotel is increasing their the money coming into the tribe, and we appreciate that. We're just trying on this issue, trying to find the right answer. Melinda.
And I think, you know, internally when we're looking at all the room tax dollars come back to the tribe. So it comes to our general treasury. And so how we distribute those dollars is, you know, one way. I mean, if we receive the room tax dollars and then we give them right back to the Wingate, it still has to be budgeted for. And I guess that's really the argument, you know, do we want to spend the dollars to go and renovate the Wingate or help with the capital expenditures over there? So that's really the question on the table. And then, you know, how we designate room tax dollars to be spent, whether it's tourism or whether it goes back into some capital expenditures for the hotel or any of our other corporations, is another discussion that we need to have. So I thought this discussion was had a number of times already. We just need to make a decision. So
thank you. Vince?
Well, I was just going to urge that we be careful. You know, the CFO made a good point yesterday about room rates. I understand what the secretary's saying. We've tried to dig out from a pretty bad capital-related issue with the Radisson. But, you know, every 5 years, typical hotels will turn over. You've got clean linens and clean, you know, everything, a complete remodel, upgrades. So we still have an issue with the Radisson that we have to talk about. I look at a company like Dell. They've spent, you know, the last 5 to 7 years, $27 billion on improving their business. And, you know, that's one person. You know, you look at Michael Dell, and then you look at us. What are we spending to improve our businesses? So I think that equation has to be figured out, because we've unfortunately taken on some debt at the Radisson that was probably not wise at the time, but we felt that the market would bear that new tower. So we have to figure all those things out. I would encourage the chairman, as you're working on this, Mr. Chairman, to, you know, have the CFO and the Airport Hotel Corporation Board, and I think we'll make the right decision. We do need to stay dialed in locally, but we also have to start looking at our own capital improvement dollars as we spend internally, as Councilwoman Danforth said, about as we prepare budgets. Important points.
Well, I think that from a perspective, not that I don't have faith that you'll do this and bring back a recommendation. I just think that we've had the discussion, and the committee should just sit down and make a decision together on how we would want to move forward instead of just giving it to the chairman. He'll bring us a recommendation, you know, and we'll probably like half of it and probably not like half of it. So instead of just giving it back to him, why don't we defer either to a work meeting or to our next business committee meeting, and then we'll just hammer it out.
Next BC. Patty.
Yeah, I agree with the councilwoman, but I think just to make the motion clear, it was, as we talked about, send it to the chairman's office, but he's going to be convening, you know, legislative affairs and others to be a part of revisiting this issue again, and together we'll bring it back. It was just, he's the point of contact.
Well, I just would encourage you to call a meeting of everybody and just, you know, let's get it taken care of, because we have this conversation. We've had this conversation several times over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. We do have a motion out there, I believe.
Yes, to defer it to your office and bring back a new recommendation in 2 weeks.
Ready to vote? Paul?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, at that, the councilwoman was alluding to, you know, having a meeting, or, you know, if we can find a venue or a forum where, you know, instead of a work meeting, you know, where we can sit down and discuss this and decide where we're going to go, instead of just the chairman, you know, bringing it back in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Is it possible to, you know, like a half an hour before executive session, maybe in 2 weeks or so, or, you know, that we...
Well, we'll make the motion allows us to serve as a tickler motion, so it'll come back automatically in 2 weeks to the agenda, and then during those 2 weeks, we'll have meetings to sort this out. I'll send email to Legislative Affairs so that they can work and work on behalf of the chairman to convene us together and get this done. So the chairman's role is more symbolic in this effort. We know the staff will be moving it forward and the chairman will make sure that we actually get into the meeting. Get to the meeting.
I don't want to be symbolic. I want input. What I was planning on doing. And this is
I wanted to say taskmaster or whipmaster, but I chose symbolic.
Taskmaster is great. I was planning on, you know, me and Nate working together, yes, preparing some kind of SWOT analysis so we have a basis for our discussion.
Yeah.
Good point.
Okay.
So we can
although,
vote.
Okay, I guess we're ready to vote. Mm-hmm. All those in favor of the motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Thank you. Next on the agenda is the reports, emergency management. Any questions on the report is in our packet. Are there any questions on the report? As I go through it, I think it's a summary of what emergency management does, Homeland Security emergency management. I saw some issues of concerns done from the director over there, Marty Antone, whose last day will be Friday, and the need to for the creation of this public safety commission. Right now, we have a police commission. About a year and a half ago, we set a course of reorganizing the police commission to become a public safety commission so they could possibly incorporate Homeland Security, emergency management, the police department,
rescue,
conservation, possibly a rescue service in the new future, and possibly someday a fire department, mm-hmm, and putting those all under the Homeland Security.
Public.
Emergency management, and this is a report summarizing the need to do that and get this all done because we have a way to go yet.
A motion to accept the report.
We have a motion by
Patty Heff
to accept the report. Do we have a second?
Support.
Supported by Vince Della Rosa. Discussion. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain?
Abstain.
Abstain.
Okay, I think we'll do a roll call on this because.
Okay.
Patty.
Patty Heft, yes.
Support Vince Della Rosa.
Abstain. Greg Madsen.
Support Brenda Stevens.
Abstain, Councilman Inam.
Abstain, Councilwoman Danforth.
Okay, we have motion carries.
Yes.
We have three abstentions, I believe.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Motion carries. Comprehensive Health Division, Dr. Veer and Deborah Danforth. Good morning, Debbie.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, you have a copy of our report that was submitted. I just want to go ahead and cover a couple of the highlights and a couple of areas of concern that we are currently having. We'll start with the highlights. Our strategic plan focused in the three specific areas of improved access to care across the health division, coordination and integration of services through technology, and unending clinical quality improvement. Under the improved access to care across the health division, we continue to try to actively recruit for primary care physicians, psychiatry, psychology, and we are actively working on recruitment for the AJRCCC as well as for those vacant positions that we currently have. Under the AJRCCC, or the Anna John Resident-Centered Care Community, a couple highlights there that I'd like to offer is that the congregate meal site moved over to the facility as of November 4th. They have begun shared activities between the nursing home and elder services beginning in November. little rough bumps here and there, but we are working through those issues. Physical therapy will be moving over to the nursing home at the end of January. There has been the hiring of a permanent nursing home administrator, which is Nola Feldkamp, a permanent finance coordinator, which is Connie Danforth, and a permanent director of nursing, which is Wendy Wagner. They are still utilizing some temp agency staff, basically in the interim while they're continuing to fill permanently those vacant positions. And that kind of will fluctuate, and there will still be some continued use of agency staff based on the fact that it needs to fluctuate by law with the census of the nursing home as they are starting to increase their admissions. Coordination and integration of services through technology, a couple highlights. You will see under that section the concerns and or actions needed by the committee. We've had some recent developments. We had the resignation or the retirement of our business analyst for the division. That was as of the middle of December. And so we do have some concern in terms of that process to get that position filled as quickly as possible. I know that they are working on getting that position filled. They did come forward and request approval for the filling of that position from MIS. The other issue that has come up in relation to this has to do with the consultant that was working with us and performing the role of the Link Logic Manager, which actually addresses all of the updates and things like that that have to go through for the electronic medical record. That person was filling the position through ZyQuest, and unfortunately that position and that individual has accepted a different position and is leaving ZyQuest, is taking a permanent position somewhere, and so we are, again, in a bind because we don't have someone that is prepared to fill that position through MIS. So we're working with MIS to try and address the vacancy that we currently have in that area. MIS is working with some of their staff to try and help fill the vacancy, the void that we have for that task that individual has been doing. That individual's last day was last Friday. And so we haven't yet felt the impact of that, but we are asking that the business committee would reassess those requests that do come forward from MIS, which are specific to the MIS needs of the Comprehensive Health Division. We also had in our FY14 budget, we had the positions of the clinical applications coordinator and the Link Logic Manager, and so we may, as we move forward, have to bring those positions in to request the filling of those positions so that we can continue to have somebody on staff for those particular areas. Under the patient management system, we have finished actually the pharmacy issues that we were addressing with eMedical apps, and we have begun the work now on batch eligibility process, which makes that process completely electronic, and hopefully within the next quarter we can report some success on that as well. And again, there are no formal action required, but again, this relates to the IT needs within the Comprehensive Health Division. Unending clinical quality improvement. We have a total as of October 1st of 295 employees, 96 enrolled Oneidas, 1 Asian, 3 Black African American, 169 Caucasian, 2 Hispanic Latino, and 24 American Indian Alaska Natives. You have the listing of those positions which are currently vacant and the positions which we have currently filled as of October. Let's see if there's anything else. Some of the highlights I just wanted to bring forward to your attention are during this quarter, we did have the annual diabetic event, which was held at the end of August. The theme for that event was called Lighting the Fires of Good Health. We had a total sellout of 450-plus community members that attended that event, which is always a sellout every year. That is the success of our diabetes programming. In addition to that, in February we'll be coming up with the family. In March will be the Family Fun Night, and they are finalizing the planning of that event as well. That event also normally draws approximately 250 in attendance from family members throughout the community. Employee health nursing, a highlight for their area is that a total of the health risk appraisals for the insured employees and their spouses, a total of 1,736 HRAs were completed for since May 1st for the employee health area. Certainly, they had a good response with the work through risk management, and they've been working collaboratively with them to try and get those HRAs completed. One other highlight that I just wanted to mention is we have been meeting with the committee in terms of the contract health issues. We did talk about the potential impact in terms of lifting the restrictions from a priority 1B, which is where we currently are now, and we are meeting as the appeals committee on a regular basis for those referrals that do not fit that category of 1A or 1B. And so the appeals committee, which is the medical director, myself, and the director of nursing, and the particular provider, whichever is doing the referral, to assess the actual urgency and need for those referrals, and then the committee makes the determination as to whether or not that referral gets approved or not. We are also under discussion at this point to include inpatient behavioral health treatment in that process and include the appeals committee in making some of those determinations. And one final highlight, you'll see on the last page of the report, we have some photos, which is capturing a number of issues that, or a number of events that took place during the time of this quarterly report. One of those being the safety camp, which is always another real popular event that's held by the division. And we had a total of 68 that attended out of 80 that applied for the safety camp, which is totally funded by a grant through the state. And we had 136 people from the community that attended the graduation ceremony for all of those children that participated. In that event, they were able to issue car seats and retain some of the old car seats that individuals had. So they provided that education to a lot of the community members. One of the things I did want to mention is that in addition, you had a picture of the financials. And I do want to mention the fact that, yes, we were well over in terms of what our anticipated budget was for tribal contribution this year. Unfortunately, that's an indication based upon what the impact of sequestration had within the division. Also, that impact was felt because of increased needs, which were catastrophic within contract health services. So we are continuing to look at trying to restrict some of contract health expenditures, which is the reason why we've requested the committee's support in terms of maintaining the restriction with a 1A and 1B and then allowing the appeals committee to make those determinations. And one final note, I just wanted to share with you that for the holiday season, we did want to say a big yawanko to the K through third grade Oneida Elementary students who took care of making all of our Christmas decorations for the Christmas tree that we held in the lobby for this year. And they had a good time doing that, and we had a good time with them making all of those items for us. So with that, any questions?
Greg and then Vince.
I'm just wondering, but how's the flu season look around the area?
We have had a number of cases of flu that have been coming forward, but we did have, within our health division, we had 100% compliance in terms of the vaccine. Either they declined the vaccine or they took the vaccine. So 100% of the comprehensive health division, which includes the nursing home staff and employees, all received their vaccine or gave a reason why they could not receive the vaccine, meaning they either got it in their own office or somewhere else. But we have been seeing, you know, pockets of flu that have begun to start, and I'm sure we'll probably see a lot more within the coming weeks because of everybody staying in the house and staying inside because of the cold weather, sharing germs.
Yeah. Is there been a focus on that H1N1 strain of it? That's what I...
Not no. at this time, no.
Vince and then Melinda.
I had a question I wanted to understand because we were looking at the budget when we closed year end.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't understand that your budget number was, I think it was north of $5 million, had anything to do with sequestration. Could you explain that?
Sure. With the sequestration, as you'll see with our grant requirements with the consolidated health budget, we budgeted $19.6 million. We actually only received in approximately $19 million. Originally, we had anticipated that to be about $20 million originally, and then we were cut by 5% from the Indian Health Service from what we actually received.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone else? Melinda?
I just had a couple of comments. As you may know or see on your schedules, the Comprehensive Health Division, because of the activities in Washington, D.C. with the budget, us not getting our dollars timely in October like we were supposed to, and then also with a number of issues, I know each and every one of us up here get complaints or we get to hear the stories. And so, therefore, the Comprehensive Health Division has taken the initiative to schedule two meetings a month with the business committee on Friday mornings at 8:30. So, you know, there's a lot of interaction that's occurring outside of just this quarterly report that I think the committee should take advantage of if there are questions. I know personally we've been dealing with the contract health issue. People want the contract health to be opened up, but for all the reasons that Debbie's telling you today from the financial perspective, and just from the federal government's unsure steps towards a budget or not a budget, you know, we really have to be mindful of our own financials as well. I was going to ask about the community meetings on the Affordable Care Act, mm-hmm. how those community meetings went, and then also I think there is a misperception in the community about admitting patients into the Anna John Nursing Home. It's not as easy as just taking the patient from, you know, Manor Care or anywhere else and bringing them over to the Anna John and that's it. There's a huge process that needs to occur from a regulatory perspective whereby the family and the patient's doctors and the patient's, I can't remember, they're the people who let you go, they have to agree. And they have to make sure that we can provide all the services that that patient needs in our facility. And I think we reported the last time to the committee that we're having some issues with 24/7 physical therapy options. Occupational therapy and speech therapy is not present at the clinic on an ongoing basis. So some of the patients that require those kind of services wouldn't be able to come to Anna John like we would want them to. So I know that the health center, along with the Anna John Nursing Home staff, is working hard to ensure that we're getting those, you know, gaps filled so that our tribal members can come back to our facility. We just recently had a case that I actually got to go through with the family and Anna John Nursing Home staff where I'm like, you know, we need to get this person over here. It's end of life. This person really wants to be home on the reservation in our nursing home. And it just so happened that the person who was receiving medication for pain was only getting medication and pain medicine that only hospitals can administer. So we had to make sure that they could go on a new pain med that the Anna John Nursing Home could get. So it's not as simple as people think it is. And then, of course, the doctors have to agree as well. Mm. So, you know, I know that I've been hearing a lot of those stories, and once I start getting into the situations or trying to look into the situation, a lot of times it's those gaps in services, and a lot of times it's the patient's doctors or I can't remember the name of that person. They won't
agree. Discharge planner.
The discharge planners won't agree to allow them to come. So I really kind of wanted to try to explain that to you all because it's just not as simple, and I think the community needs to understand it's not just as simple as saying, hey, I want to go there. It's just not, it's not that way in that industry.
Thank you, Melinda. If I could just add to that comment, I know that the nursing home staff are very diligent at looking at alternatives to try to make sure that if they are going to admit a resident or admit a patient, whether it be from the hospital or whether it be from another facility or whether it be from home, that we as a facility are able to provide the necessary services that those individuals need. If we can't provide it, they're not going to accept that patient, basically because it not only jeopardizes our funding, it jeopardizes our licensure, and it also jeopardizes the health and safety of that particular patient that wants to be admitted. So they are very diligent at trying to do that. They're also looking at different alternatives to try and different alternatives to try and see how we might be able to perhaps contract with an outside entity to be able to provide the necessary services that are needed to cover in a lot of those voids that we have, which is occupational, which is speech therapy, which are primarily the therapies that are ordered by hospital discharges in terms of requirements for those particular individuals. So we are working on trying to get that addressed. And again, it's basically related to, the access to care, finding those individuals that are available, and then being able to afford that quality of care that we need to have.
I'd just like to say thank you for those morning update meetings on Fridays. I mean, they're very informative. All of those type of questions, like Melinda was saying, are available to be asked there, and I know she participates in each and every one that she can, and I kind of miss them because we haven't had one in a while due to the holidays, so I appreciate that and all of the effort of the staff when they come in to fully informed on all those questions.
Thank you.
More questions? We have a motion out there.
Motion to accept the report.
Support.
Motion to accept the report. Patty Heff, seconded by Vince Della Rosa. Any further discussion? All those in favor of accepting the report, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstained? Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Development Division, Butch Trentmeister. Good morning, Butch.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Did you get the report? I heard there was a glitch and in it being on there, but most of our stuff is the run of the mill routine stuff that we do. We have the work order requests and stuff included so you can see what work we are doing. We have a positive variance in our budget. We have a couple of areas that a little over budget, and that's seasonal. Some of them are like the groundskeeping. We did have some snow events in the first quarter, but that evens out over the year. And Otto, DPW Otto, they take care of the snowplow equipment, and some of the equipment takes a beating. One thing here on the BIA advance funding, we get the funding from BIA and it's invested because we make interest on it. The first quarter, there's a fee that they charge. It's in Northern Trust, so that as of now, we've already, we've already covered that with our interest. So we get around $800,000 from the BIA, so they invest it because we can get interest on it. And then there's another tribal transportation planning. There was one, we're over on that, but one of the projects went over, so they paid it with tribal contribution, but I do have a letter from the Bureau saying that they will reimburse it, so that'll take care of that, and then we'll be, that'll zero that out. So other, based on our budget, we're doing better than budget. In October, in October 28th, they transferred OHA over to Development Division, and I do have an update here at the end of the that I'll go over, and from now on then we will include the OHA in our regular reporting, quarterly reporting. So, but the update on the construction is Development Division started working with OHA in October of 28th, and since that time we have been able to finish three of the five 504 duplexes on Matoxin Lane in Green Valley Subdivision. They are ready for occupants. We're working on getting them occupied now. They are getting people to move in. The rest of the site has been secured for winter months because it's too cold and it was too late in the season for us to do anything. So we had to try to protect the foundations that were in there so they weren't damaged. So we did secure them and straw, cover them with straw and insulated blankets to try and protect them over the winter. Green Valley in Elder Village, we're going to be soliciting an architect engineering firm and develop drawings and specifications or update what we have. And we're going to put an RFP out for for construction company. And we plan on starting construction in Green Valley and Elder Village this spring. And then Ooska Village, we're finalizing the conceptual development plan. And we're going to release a RFP so we can start doing the civil part of it. And start the construction this summer for the infrastructure, and then we'll proceed into architectural design of the structures and release for RFP later on in the year. So that's, I don't know if you have any questions.
Vince, the sites that you guys are trying to protect, before the cold spell had broken, I had asked to see if we could drop some spec homes in there. Why weren't we able to do that?
I think that there were a couple of them that were, that were to a point, but we just had to scramble because the coal came in a lot stronger this year, and to get them protected, we didn't really have time to get anything on them. They're still, we just didn't have time.
Okay.
When you bring in the planners or the people who do the drawings and how the buildings will look, will you be taking into consideration a lot of the comments and I think direction from the CDPC to try and create these houses more appealing to the eye? That we've had some comments prior that we're building almost everything the same. You know, it's a flat duplex. It's what you see mostly are the garages. It looks like a big old bunch of garages with some houses attached to them. I received a comment from a former BC member, Patty's mom, who'd like to see more emphasis on the houses themselves and the porches, and people sitting on those porches, giving that idea of more of a warm community versus a garage community. Those were some of the comments during CDPC, so I hope those are related to anybody who does the drawings or...
Yeah, that's something, we can have that in our RFP instructions to them, and we can also get input from CDPC and have you look at, have input into that. We do want to have it more of a community thing. There are some, it is HUD money, and there are certain restrictions and strings that come with it, but not the things you're saying, that you're saying that there's no restriction on that, we can surely try to design a more appealing, you know, with, like you said, porches and things like that, that, you know, that's all doable.
Great, thank you.
Motion to accept the report.
We have a motion by Patty Heff to accept the report, supported by Vince De La Rosa. Any further discussion?
I'm just wondering how. I know all of the questions are always vetted through the area's division directors and stuff, but I know you guys are getting stretched thin, because I talked to Mike Showers about having to travel down to Milwaukee or whatever, you know, all of these different engagements. How are you guys holding up? I mean, with the staffing side, because we continue to push these things down, but we're not necessarily creating that balance within the staff and supplying all of the needs there.
Well, I did talk to Paul, and because we are taking Mike pretty away from a lot of the CIP things that he's working on, and because he's got a lot of things that he's doing down at housing. He's like he's working with the crews. We're trying to reassign to make sure that there's work for people and get them in rehab. We have to make sure that that it follows some of the guidelines for some of the grant requirements, and then we're also reconciling some of the work that's been done. I mean, there's a couple of things on, like the one of the houses was that's not done. I think it's 11. Scott could film, but I think it's 11. There was water damage. You know, they put that PEC tubing in the walls. Now they don't use copper, and sometimes some of those fittings let loose, and one let loose in that wall and filled the wall up with water, and it caused a lot of water damage. That's why 11 isn't done, and 11 will be done, I think, in February, and one of them would be done in January.
Scott?
I just thought I'd add just to elaborate a little more on what Greg is saying. Excuse me. Good morning. Scott Denny, Housing Authority. Just internally as well with Housing Authority specifically, now we're under enterprise or development now, and we've gone through a number of staff changes as well. So we're working on, you know, together getting that stuff ironed out in part. Mike has helped with that workload related to the development side, the construction side, you know, because of the staff changes that we've had. So, getting over the hump of getting past the holidays and vacations and some health setbacks and getting on, getting things solidified and getting people distributed. And as Butch said, even with some of the crew, we do have to be careful with some of the crews how we distribute them. There are some parts that are easy with job codes, but permanent moves, if there's any permanent moves, we already have budgets that are in place with these grants allocated to programs. And so it's not impossible. It's just there's more work to be done to distribute that money. So if you say, I'm going to move somebody over here permanently, we got to move that money with it, because the existing budget over here isn't ready to handle that. But it can be done, and it's just working through those details to get that all ironed out.
And okay. Which one is that 11 that had the water?
We have a motion.
Yeah.
We have
a motion
on the floor. Okay, we do have a motion on the floor, but we have Carol Elm back there. Carol?
Who's the village?
It's on off.
Uska Village is actually off of Overland. It's not there yet.
No.
But where it's being drawn, and yeah, it's coming, where it's being drawn, and it's actually off of Overland, it would be north of Flores Drive. So in between basically where the north part, easier this way, where the north part of where the 504s are, but this is the whole Green Valley area, then...
Yeah, it's and just to answer Greg's question, we may need to try and hire a LTE or something, CIP I asked Paul if you can justify it to send me the justification. But in spring, when we start more construction, with Mike Showers being most of his time being going to be taken up in housing, we may need someone to help in some of the other areas, because we do have CIOTs and some other projects that are going on. So that just FYI, but he hasn't given me the justification yet. So I, you know, when I, if I get it, then I'll surely request it.
Okay.
Thank you. We do have a motion. A motion. We do have a second. Are we ready to vote?
Yes.
All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries.
Thank you much.
Thank you, Scott.
Wait, clarification question. A few steps down on the agenda. This report covers that piece,
right?
Correct?
Okay. I'll make a motion to say that we've
heard
the report.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, the next two reports, the Land Management Division report and the Self-Governance one, are needing a motion to defer to our next meeting.
Okay, making that motion,
Mr. Chair.
Okay, motion to defer Land Management and the Self-Governance reports to the next meeting. Motion made by Vince Delarosa.
Seconded by Patty Heft.
Seconded by Patty Heft. All those in favor, discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Thank you. Next on the agenda, Environmental Health and Safety Division, Pat Pelkey.
Good morning.
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 Just to draw a couple of attentions to some of the highlights of our quarterly reports, as I put in the opening impressions, is that we've been pretty excited about the phase one. It got majority done before the freeze hit in this year. So, you know, many thanks to the Development Division, the Division of Land Management, Environmental Resource Board, Land Commission, and also the Business Committee. We certainly couldn't have gotten nearly this far without everybody's help with that, especially the Development Division. We've been able to basically, I don't know if you guys have been out there, but we shaped the whole lake now for the phase one. We've been able to put the beach area in. All the stormwater systems are in place. The roads and trails are all roughed in. And the other thing that we were able to do is that we were able to recycle some of those silos that we've demoed through the Division of Land Management, and we're going to use that and bring that on site in the spring to finish up the roads and the trails, and then we'll finish up the spring, handicap fishing piers. So we're definitely looking forward to opening this site up at the end of spring, early part of the summer. So it's moving right along. Also, our Conservation Corps just wanted to kind of extend an appreciation for you guys, recognize them for the work that they've done on preparing the Duck Creek Trail. That meant a lot to them, and I just wanted to kind of share that with you. So, you know, a big appreciation for you guys for doing that, taking that extra step, because that was kind of stressful for those guys to get out there and, you know, not knowing if they were going to get ticketed or even arrested. So. But they did a great job out there, and we're definitely ready for the next phase of that Duck Creek Trail. The other thing I just wanted to draw attention to, so as you know, we're trying to do where Coyote Run is over on the northwestern part of the reservation with that 200-acre wetland project. We're trying to reestablish the wild rice out there, so we're actually in our fourth year of doing that. Last year, we finally did have a successful stand out there, about a sixth acre. So this fall, we were able to work with the kids to actually then go with another final seeding out there. So that wild rice is coming in really nicely out there. It came in really thick this last year and very tall, and it was enough to overcome all the wildlife that's been out there, because that's been some of our problems in the past, is that there's so much abundant of the migratory birds that come through as that is trying to set. So, but it's turning out really nice out there. So, and we're also working on the second site, and that's over by where the water birds nest off of the Adam Drive with some wild rice seedings. So, within the budgets this year, we're running pretty close to being even for the first quarter. So we're a little bit ahead, like $900 ahead, but we're toting the line. So. But we did very successful quarter for writing grants. I had listed that we received four grants this year, this fall. One is from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife to continue our work around the invasive species. That's becoming a growing problem, and all we're able to do now is just kind of keep up because it's coming in fast with the climate change. We definitely are adapting to those new changes that we're seeing in the environment. Also, we wrote a transportation safety plan that we are going to work with the Development Division and Planning Department and their transportation personnel to work with the community to actually establish a safety plan around our transportation, sidewalks, lighting, or whatever the community, really kind of a focus with the community. So we're successful of getting that grant. And then also EPA had talked to us about giving us additional funds around redoing formatting for how we present the work that we do as we work with under EPA grants and authorities. So they gave us some additional funds to actually as a pilot program for the United Nations. That's really stems from our staff's relationship that we do have with the Chicago office. So that was a nice grant, nice addition. And then we were successful in writing another household clean sweep grant. So we will be having another one of those this year. We haven't decided if it's going to be one or two yet, but one for sure now. So, just some program evaluations, things that we did. We actually did another annual plan. We submitted that in the packet with you for your review. Basically, that's just all the things that we've accomplished through fiscal year 2013 is just kind of highlight, basically telling our story, being very gracious that we were funded, and these are the things that we've done with those funds. So we put that on our website or Facebook page, and then also any community events, we'll bring this report there to share with the community. And also we do use it for grants when we write grants as they need it. Another interesting thing, too, is this is another bigger group that we work with around annual seatbelts. We have noticed there, over the years we've been increasing through the awareness from OPD and public health safety people and in our office. But we did lose 1% this past year, so we're going to be really concentrating on pulling that number back up. So I think, just to highlight a couple of things, this next quarter is usually a big quarter for us writing grants. So we plan of writing a lot of grants this quarter and some larger ones to do some more of these bigger projects. So we're hoping we're going to be successful. And we are going to be getting $22,000 from the DNR. All the tribes are going to get $22,000 to do this youth initiative where we actually can put Oneida youth to work within the natural resource area. So we're not sure how we're going to formulate that yet, but each of the tribes get $22,000. It's through that walleye initiative that they have. But basically, they'll use it similar to what the old WCC model used to be years ago as I was a kid. So it's been a long time. But so we're pretty excited about getting that with the state, kind of bridging some of those relationships that we have with the DNR. So. With that, that's about the highlights of our division for the quarter. I don't know if you have any questions.
I do. The wild rice, is that like what they grew up north a lot? Same brand?
We're getting it from the St. Croix. The last 3 years we've been getting it from the St. Croix. So it's a very good rice. It was typically not the exact same species that were found in this area, but it's very similar, so we expecting it to do well.
Mm-hmm. Are we establishing any regulations on, so there's enough for, more than a...
Not yet, but we will. First, we wanted to get it established, and then some of the things that we would want to work with the Environmental Resource Board is that we'd probably want to go to more traditional harvest, because when you go to a traditional harvest, not our traditions, but the Chippewas, then they actually reseed these banks. So we'll work as these areas get developed. The other thing, too, around wild rice, we're starting to... Now that the Coyote Islands are out on the bay that we're part of the Coal Trustee, we help fund that. we're going to have that whole Duck Creek estuary. That used to be loaded historically with wild rice. So the co-trustee will be working with the DNR to say, oh, is that a possibility of restoring that back to a wild rice bed? There's a lot of work that still needs to get out there, but we think there's a good possibility now that Cat Island is put into place, and where that wave action now won't be detrimental to wild rice. So,
is there a possibility you'll be giving lessons on how to harvest wild rice? And
yeah, I think so. I mean, those are just some of our outreach events that we really enjoy doing with the community. So we may ask some of the Chippewas to come down, but I know there's some Oneidas that have gone up many years to go help them do some harvesting. So we'll definitely rely on the community to help us out with that. So,
thank you.
Mr. Chairman, yeah, I just wanted to add, you know, it's a really exciting project that you have out there with the wild rice, and I'm glad that we can use, you know, St. Croix, and we're bringing in those indigenous foods, you know, and kind of opening up, you know, kind of those trade systems again, you know, mm-hmm. that we've all been talking about for many years, you know, and it was just really exciting. I was out there when the kids were just coming out and when they had the canoes. It was cold, though. It was really cold. It was, you know, but that's a great experience for our high school kids.
Yeah, we've been
here, and you could tell they were having a lot of fun. Yeah. The other thing I just wanted to add, Mr. Chairman, was that, you know, I can't put enough emphasis on the conservation crew finishing on, or, you know, doing as much work as they can on that trail. It's phenomenal, but you know, to continually be harassed, you know, by Hobart, I'm glad that we could, you know, go ahead and just acknowledge them, you know, several weeks back. And the chairman and a number of us, you know, got to, you know, just thank them for that. But I just can't put enough emphasis on that, you know, with that harassment. And we, you know, we hope it stops. You know, at some point, because we can't be working under those conditions.
Yeah, and too, what came from that meeting is that the OCC guy says, you know, it'd be nice to be able to have construction signs out there saying, you know, Duck Creek Trail coming soon. The phrase that came up was connecting communities,
absolutely.
Brought to you by Oneida Tribe. So we're going to be putting those signs out there. Environmental Resource Board is going to take the lead in getting them developed with the planning department. So, and then we'll put them out there.
It will be good.
Vince and then Greg.
The only thing I would ask, you know, Vice Chairman Mattson and CDPC, we've been very supportive of the food hub. We'd like to see locally grown. Even Councilman Ninham has worked on some of those slow foods, raw foods, locally grown. We'd like to see a possible uptick in rice harvest, and I don't know what the forecasts are. I know you guys have worked for 4 years on that. As we launch the food hub, because the food hub's, we hope, is really going to be something that where we can provide a really fresh source of farm to table for our tribal members here.
Yeah, and I know we are definitely connected with Joni Buckley's team. You know, we went out and toured aquaponic system, commercial size that would meet a lot of different needs. The wild rice may not be a picture in the near future, but certainly long term, because the wild rice is also a very important food source for the wildlife. It is also a great product or a plant to have in a system for water quality too. So you know, certainly we're putting it out there for community connect with, but also it's a great wildlife and a water quality plant that we want to restore. So those are kind of plants that exist, and as we improve the environmental conditions, those are some of the things that you see come back. You know, trout is another one. You know, that's a great indicator. Frogs are another great indicator that things are improving out there around the environmental conditions. It wasn't our idea to put the wild rice out there. It showed up on its own. Mm-hmm. You know, so we decided we'll just help it out a little more. So. But, yeah, but those are great points, and we'll definitely stay connected with Joni's program.
Thanks.
Greg? I was just wondering about the FDA. I know they're very excited about coming out and visiting us. If they've been in touch with you on that, or if there's been a date established yet for that
Jeff Mears is assigned from the Environmental Health and Safety point, and he's working with Joni on that, so they'll be working together. We are ahead of the game around the FDA changing their codes, because we are actually, the tribe adopted the food codes already. So there won't be that much more for us to do, but we definitely want to stay engaged with them to make sure that the things that they're trying to do in Washington, that it's in the best interest of the Oneida tribe. So we'll definitely stay connected with Joni's group again, another, you know, staying with her group, Rona Osif's group.
Great. Very good.
Motion? Mr. Chair, good report as usual. We love your work over there. The whole team is really dedicated to the types of services that this tribe needs. I make a motion to approve the report.
Motion to approve the report.
Second.
Ms. De La Rosa, seconded by Paul Linham. Any further discussion? All those in favor of approving the report, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstained? Motion carries. Thank you, Pat.
Thank you.
And no appointments today. Quarterly report. CIOTS.
Motion to approve the report.
Support. Support.
Okay. Motion to approve the written report. Melinda Danforth, seconded by Vince De La Rosa. Discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstained? Motion carries. Next on the agenda, Oneida Nation Commission on Aging, Wes Martin, Jr., Chairman.
I'll just put a motion on the floor right away. A motion to approve the report.
Support.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion to approve Melinda Danforth, seconded by Vince De La Rosa.
Mr. Chair, I do have a question. I do have a question for you guys. You know, I was over at Elderly Services. I spoke to you guys over a year or so ago when we were talking about possibly trying to get a home building plant on the reservation. And the context, one of the things that I thought was most interesting about that was I was concerned about our capacity to build maybe a battered, sheltered site, homeless site, and certainly dodo homes. I wonder if you guys could at some point within the next couple, few weeks get over to my office a listing of tribal elders that may be interested in a dodo home, some room additions onto their home. And I don't know if you could help with that, Lois. It would be helpful to know that.
So we've been having a hard time getting financing that would support that type of thing. Usually it has to be separated from the home itself.
Uh-huh.
But we have a number of people interested in
On behalf of the council, I've been working on actually, the council initially supported a submission to Governor Walker's office for a trades program that would work jointly with NWTC. And Governor Walker wasn't able to include that in his budget. The context was to try and get our gaming compact dollars back here, at least some more of them, and advance that kind of a program. So if you could get me some information, I'd like to know that.
Sure.
That would show need. And that would push that program because we're trying to get state funds, almost like Pat Works, you know, trying to cobble together these things that provide on-the-ground services. Mm-hmm. Let me know. I'd appreciate that. Thanks.
Sure.
You know, just to comment on that, Vince, is that we have had discussions about that, but that would be something with the housing because them would be basically individual homes. We talked about Elder Village, but there was then the problem of the land there and enough to build it. And like the chairman there was talking about the how all the things are the same. Now, we've been working Mike Showers and Scott Denny and toured in Elder Village will not be all the same. They're not all going to be looking like Three Sisters. They're going to be different shapes that will fit in that site. So it could be changed as to how it's located. And there's going to be about three different cottages. We're working with that. So they're not all going to be the same, but they're going to be as they, you know, and so it's not going to be look like a housing, HUD housing project. And so we've been working with them. We took a tour of them, and we're excited, and they're going to continue. Mike Showers, and I thank you guys. That was a good move to put us under. It's finally getting some direction, you know, because it was kind of like at a standstill, and we're really, you know, and we're working with our, going to be working with the architecture as to what kind they will look at and make sure they fit the environment. And we had talked about that, too, the dodo homes, but that was the issue is You know, where do you come up with the funds for that?
Think porches, greet Mr. Sunshine in the morning.
Yeah, that's where. So they're going to have porches too and garages. So unless there's something else, we, we're continue to work for the benefit of the elders.
I would just say to the benefit or to the acknowledgement of this committee, CDPC, and some of the council members, we've been trying to get a different look into sites, different roof pitches, different designs. The chairman mentioned porches. Instead of just having a very narrow porch and the mouth of a garage facing the street, we've been trying to change the architectural design and landscape and layout. So hopefully over the next couple of years, the new committee will continue on with those efforts. So we've been mindful of that.
You know, we've been thinking about that, and then when we talk with the housing, Scott, and them and their architecture, you kind of have to give up something. We not talked about other issues like the porches, the things, and all that. And sometimes because of the funding levels and that effort, you have to give up something. But we're trying to look for a porch, and hopefully it's a big one. But we have these issues as, you know, what is allowable under the grant money, and if you know these, you know, but we're trying to make them, you know, that they fit what the elders are like in their elder ages in these homes. So we are working the best we can, and hopefully that they will be there. You know.
Thank you.
And the only other issue we have is the ORC will be meeting one more time on Anna John and probably dissolving, because that's been turned over to the clinic. Elder Services and the meal site. So Anacoa really is moving out of that, but are very interested in continue working with them divisions on Anna John home.
I have a question. I know that for the disabled housing, housing is going to be taking already people who are already part of housing who are in need of that and putting them in the new disabled housing as they become available. Are we going to do that a similar thing cottages are available? We're going to be taking tribal members who are currently in housing, elders, and moving them. They're a priority. How are they going to be selected?
We can, ANCOA can probably work with Oneida Housing to give them some ideas of how we'd like to see it. But at this point, I don't think they've made some firm decision on how they're going to be moving people in. But there is a consideration made for those who are living currently in other housing from Oneida.
And that's up to housing. ANCOA will not be the ones. There's a process under the housing that they follow. But I think it is,
So for the cottages, the OHA will be doing the process of selection.
Applications and their selection, that will be not up to ANCOA.
Okay. Thank you.
But that selection can change quickly with people's, if they have an individual has a stroke, then their position can move up. So it changes.
Yeah, and I think the
quite rapidly.
I think where the disability would allow them to function in a home independently, but if they're in need of special treatment and things like that, there are certain stuff that they can need to be able to function in a home. And one of the good things about it, though, is that each of the homes will have where they can have a caregiver living with them, you know, in there to help them too. So that's another thing for the elders that. You know, just they have somebody there to help them. They'll be living in the home with them. So that's encouraging, too. So, you know, the best thing I heard is the best place to stay is in a home rather than in a nursing home, a hospital or something. If you live independently, that's what we encourage.
Right. Do we have a motion?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, we do. Any more questions? Okay, we'll vote now. All those in favor of approving the report, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain. Motion carries. Thank you. Oneida Election Board. Vicki Cornelius.
Yeah, morning. Morning. Vicki Cornelius, Chairperson of Election Board. See, this is the fourth quarter report for July, August, and September. During this quarter, we held special elections with no challenges. There was a three-way tie for Ancoa, so we held a recount and a lot drawing. We also worked with the LOC with the election law amendments, and we're under budget. It was $25,341 for the budget for the fourth quarter.
Mr. Chair. Vince? Motion to accept and approve the report.
Support.
We have a motion to accept and approve the report. Vince De La Rosa, seconded by Paul Ninham. Discussion?
Mr. Chairman. Oh, I just wanted to give Vicki a chance to tell us about the options that the election board is proposing for this year's general election cycle. Your report is on the annual GTC meeting agenda, but because that meeting has been postponed until a later date, we haven't had a chance to talk about it, but it would be a good chance since you're here to explain to us the three schedules.
I don't have that with me right now, so I wouldn't be able to explain it. And that's not
right. Yeah, I don't want to put you on the spot. But the election board is responsible just for tribal members who are watching too. It's a good way to educate everyone, especially new people who are becoming new voters about the process. But this is the year for the general election cycle, and the election board proposes the election dates, and then GTC adopts those at the annual meeting. Later on in the agenda, we're going to be proposing dates for when to reschedule that meeting.
Okay. So
I guess that's my point, is just to make sure that people know that that work comes from the election board.
There's a motion. Okay. We do have a motion. Any further questions? Ready to vote? All those in favor of the motion, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain. Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, the next two reports have been asked to defer to the next meeting. That would be the Police Commission report and Library Board.
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
Okay, the motion made by Paul Ninham, seconded by Brandon Stevens, to move the next two reports to the next BC meeting, Oneida Police Commission and Oneida Library Board. Discussion? All those in favor of the motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain. Motion carries. Environmental Resource Board, Richard Baird.
Hi, good morning. Richard's unable to make it today. He had a conflict of interest. We did call in another board member, but they're at work and they couldn't get out. So we're here representing the staff. My name is Laura Manthe. I'm the director for the Environmental Resource Board. And you have the report in front of you. The one thing that I'd like to discuss with you is on the November 7th meeting, we took action to say that the reservation would be shotgun only for hunting season. And one of our board members is Al Manders, and he's also on the Town of Oneida Board. And he is working with the community to try to pass an ordinance with the Town of Oneida so that they would also have shotgun only because the Town of Oneida is completely within the reservation boundaries. So he's going to need support from the citizens who live in Outagamie County to make this ordinance happen because the state has changed the rules and they're allowing rifles in more areas, and it's a safety issue. It does not have anything to do with the hunting and fishing rules. It has to be a safety issue in order for this to pass. And only two other communities in the state of Wisconsin have passed the shotgun only for their communities on the safety issue. So I suggested that the Town of Oneida find those ordinances and we can adopt them, or they can adopt them, change the language to fit the Town of Oneida's needs. So I'd like to ask the people that are tribal citizens, non-tribal citizens that live in Outagamie County that are part of the reservation to support Town of Oneida's efforts to make it safe for everyone.
What was the reaction of our hunters about this? I know that there was
I kept getting like both sides of the story kind of thing.
Right.
Whereby those were concerned about the safety issues that we're talking about, the limited land to be able to hunt on it and then allowing for rifle hunting. But then also the other side of the coin whereby they felt, tribal members felt they had more rights to go somewhere else to go hunt rather than on their own reservation. So we kind of got both sides of the coin. So what was the general feeling from the Environmental Resources Board standpoint about what the hunters thought?
We haven't met with the hunters yet this year. We usually have a fall meeting with them. We usually have a hunter's potluck dinner. And then in the springtime, we usually review the bag limits and how many deer were actually harvested, geese, turkeys, things like that. And then we have a conversation with the community members to update any kind of laws. But because we get more work done than the law actually gets changed, we're slowing down that kind of meeting time, so we haven't actually met with any hunters. I know that the board members are very firm about the safety issue. They really support shotgun only because of the limited land base. And I know that it is a conflict, because if you're a tribal member and you buy a state tag and you hunt off of the reservation, you can use a rifle. If you're a non-tribal member and you live on the reservation, you can use a rifle. And so there's always an unbalance. Because we regulate ourselves and we're always thinking safety first. Our seasons are a little bit different. There's some complaints about that. It's impossible to make everybody happy at the same time, but safety really is the biggest issue. We've been lucky that we haven't had any fatalities here. The rest of the state, they put out a report every year about the fatalities that they had, and it's been a safe season, and that's due a lot to the volunteers who teach the hunter safety class to get people to think before they pull the trigger. And some of our board members and myself are certified hunter safety instructors, so we understand the issue.
Well, before the next round of hunting and fishing and trapping law amendments, I think that would be an interesting discussion to be had.
Right.
I think we've had a number of discussions with the hunters as well as conservation and environmental resource board members about changes to the law. And safety always does seem to come first, but at the same time, we're having many issues being able to carry guns, how you have to take care of them, where you can, you know, so, and then with Hobart and other entities being able to offer the rifle hunting, I think that there was just a little bit of controversy that stirred up amongst our hunters on the reservations.
So. I agree completely.
Are our Oneida tribal members and all Indians on this reservation during this past season, were they required to do shotgun only?
Yes.
Okay.
Great.
Good.
Great. I think the education side needs to be put out there in a more public way, though, as well. And I think you can bring a lot of that value to those community meetings with the background that you have and several of the staff there, because that the firearms industry is changing rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
And you can now buy a shotgun that will outshoot long range of a smaller rimfire rifle. It has longer trajectory.
Mm-hmm.
So as the industry changes, so do our whole ethics on the safety part need to be reviewed on a yearly basis, because, you know, I mean, the muzzleloader season, those muzzleloaders there have the capacity to get out there to 250 yards. And yet a 30-30 rifle is pretty limited to 150 mm-hmm. yards. So it changes. And I think the public needs to be educated on that, especially the representatives that sit, you know, in our seats as well as the local municipality seats, because not many of those individuals are aware of it or may not participate in hunting or that kind of stuff. So they need to be educated as well.
Yeah, and I would rely on the wardens for that, because they have mandatory training that they have to go to. They're up on all the firearms, and to me, they're the experts when it comes to those kind of questions.
Is there a motion? Mr. Chair, move to accept the report.
We have a motion to accept the report. Paul Ninham.
Second.
Second by Brandon Stevens. Any further discussion? All those in favor of accepting the report, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain. Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oneida Gaming Commission, Mark A. Paulus, Chairman.
Motion to accept the report.
I have a motion to accept the report. Patty Heff, seconded by Vince Della Rosa. Mark.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Welcome.
The report this morning covers the various meetings that we had for the month of October, November, and December with regards to the Gaming Commission itself meetings. We also had meetings with the Security Department. We meet with them on a monthly basis. On October, November, and December, we met with the Security Director with regards to activities of the Security Department. We've also met with the gaming operation during the month of October. Excuse me, we had a canceled meeting in October. We met again in November, December with the gaming general manager with regards to the gaming operation. We also have in our report the number of employee investigations and vendor licensing that takes place within our backgrounds department as well for the month of October, November, and December. We also have in our report employee licensing and licensing hearings for the month of October, November, December, and then also the number of surveillance reports that are submitted to the Gaming Commission for October, November, and December. I just wanted to let you know that in October, the Gaming Commission itself met in a number of sessions with regards to a retreat. The Gaming Commission is going through a strategic planning process within the Gaming Commission, and we're restructuring the organization of the Gaming Commission itself. So we've been having ongoing meetings with the retreat process, and it's being facilitated through the Human Resource Department with Terry Hetzel as a facilitator for the Gaming Commission. And so we're continuing along with that process. During the month of November, we also continued with our retreat process. We've also had meetings with the state with regards to the state compliance audits, and we received some very favorable reports from the state, and probably one of the cleanest reports that the state ever seen, and it indicated that to us, and those documents will be forwarded to the business committee as well once we receive them. So we had some very favorable results with regards to the state audits that were done by the state of Wisconsin with regards to the compact. Also, I did want to mention to you that we also submitted our first quarter payment to the National Indian Gaming Commission. As you know, there's quarterly payments that are submitted to the National Indian Gaming Commission with regards to the fees that are sent to the NIGC on behalf of the Oneida Tribe. The Gaming Commission also met with the Wisconsin Gaming Regulatory Association. There's 11 tribes here in the state of Wisconsin, and we have an association with the Gaming Commissions within the state of Wisconsin. We're having another association meeting coming up in March, and the Oneida Gaming Commission is going to be hosting that meeting here in March, and so just wanted to express that to you, and thank you, and I'll take any questions. Anybody has any questions?
I have a question. Well, I'm really encouraged that the Gaming Commission continues to go on its path of around organizational change. Do you foresee anything coming out soon?
In terms of the actual reorganization structure itself, yes, we took about 20 different steps that we've taken, and we have met in a Gaming Commission meeting, and we approved 20 different actions of the commission. We're in the process of reporting that out to our administrative staff at this time. Once we do that, that will be included in our next report with regards to the activities with regards to our retreat process. If there's any specific questions, I'd be glad to answer any specifics.
Yeah, I think, you know, maybe a synopsis of what you guys are looking at from a long-term perspective, because I know that the committee members up here have expressed a desire to, you know, move the Gaming Commission into a greater realm of responsibility. So I wasn't sure if it was moving that way or if you're just looking at, you know, organizational structural changes, or are you, you know, what does it look like in the end for you guys, I guess? Or is that something that I can call you and talk with you about a little bit more, but I'm kind of encouraged that you guys are going through that process.
Well, one of the things that is ever-changing is the gaming industry consistently and constantly changes all the time. And right now, for an example, internet gaming has been a big issue within the last, I would say, 2 to 3 years. There's been a number of states that have implemented internet gaming legislation within their jurisdictions. There was a federal bill that was being passed around, kicked around with regards to internet gaming. So the issue with regards to internet gaming is the regulatory aspect of how do you regulate the internet. That's one of the biggest stumbling blocks that exist currently on a national and international level. Just about everybody in the world does internet gaming except the United States. And so the United States and the individual states are looking at internet gaming as a means of generating resources for their respective governments. And so with that being said, there's been a movement on a national level to consider the possibility of internet gaming legislation on a federal level. The National Indian Gaming Association has drafted, along with a number of interested presenters, with some proposed internet legislation on a federal level, and they've also requested the regulatory bodies to also be involved in the drafting of that language with regards to the regulation of internet gaming. Also, there is a national body, the National Tribal Gaming Regulators Association, and also works with the National Indian Gaming Association. The National Gaming Regulators Association is an association that the Oneida Tribe is a member of, and I'm also currently the vice chairman of that organization. And so we've been actively involved with regards to internet gaming. I guess the other thing, too, is that a process that we're concerned with also is the various different changes that are being made with the expansion of the gaming operation itself. We're working with all of the departments with regards to the expansion that's being proposed and that's being undertaken currently by the gaming operation. And so we work hand in glove with the gaming operation with regards to the expansion. And so there's a number of moves that have taken place with the expansion that require the involvement and the approval of the Gaming Commission with regards to our regulatory oversight, and we are in the process of doing that as well.
Business Committee, any? Brandon?
Is there a motion? We talked a little bit about Lac du Flambeau and Sokogan. They have a letter out to, they wanted NIAGA to come out publicly about the exclusivity agreements and how the local taverns are breaking those agreements. The treasurer spoke a little bit yesterday about how the committee took a position not to take that on. And so Lac du Flambeau is taking that on issue again. Currently and looking at someone, NIAGA, the tribes, to take those on, about the 5 machines in each tavern, you know, gas stations, you know, across the state. So I don't know what the role of the Gaming Commission would be since then in revisiting that position, or that would that come from the business committee itself?
Well, it is a regulatory matter that deals with the compact. And the compact itself, as you know, is a legal agreement between the state of Wisconsin and Oneida Tribe specifically with regards to our compact. I think that's something that the Gaming Commission would be interested in meeting with the Oneida Business Committee with regards to that issue specifically to inform you with regards to the legalities, with regards to exclusivity. As you know, when we negotiated our compact with the state of Wisconsin, we do have exclusivity with regards to gaming in the state of Wisconsin, as 11 tribes do, and we pay for that exclusivity. Right now, we also know and we also understand that virtually every tavern in the state of Wisconsin has slot machines in it, as well as convenience stores, even within Brown and Allegheny County, even within our own reservation. So that is an issue with regards to exclusivity, but I think that's an issue for the governing body to address with regards to our compact. However, in addressing that matter, certainly the Gaming Commission would be available to meet with the governing body if you desire to address that issue with exclusivity, because there is some legal matters with regards to that. We'd be interested in a dialogue and discussion if the governing body wishes to have some dialogue with regards to that issue regarding exclusivity.
Great. Well, thank you for that, Mark. I know the decision that was talked about earlier, regarding what the treasurer had mentioned, that was a couple of terms ago when that decision was made, from my understanding. So I think that fire needs to be fanned again at the state level. And if we can line up the individuals such as yourself that fully understand that, and on a national level, I think it would be a real beneficial part of our conversations with the public officials at the state level, whether it's at GLTSI or areas like that. So hopefully we can get together in the next couple quickly and maybe put together some target dates to have those items reviewed.
Well, I think one of the things that there's certainly some historical information needs to be put in perspective with regards to that. Governor Tommy Thompson was the brother of the chairman of the Tavern League here in Wisconsin, and they brought that issue before the state legislature. And so through Governor Tommy Thompson's affiliation as the governor, then that became an issue within the state of Wisconsin. So again, you know, though the historical part with regards to exclusivity, there certainly needs to be some discussion. And I think when we talk about exclusivity, at least from a Gaming Commission perspective, is that we need to be very careful in terms of what we say, because it's really not a role of the Gaming Commission. It's the role of the governing body to address that issue. However, the governing body has at its disposal various different expertise with regards to that subject specifically. And again, we would be more than willing to have that discussion with the governing body if you choose to do that.
Very good.
Okay, we do have a motion on the table, I do believe.
Yes.
Kathy Matoxin back there.
Thank you. I missed that, you, Mark, when you said you were chairman of a committee.
Yes.
What, I missed the committee that where you were.
It's the National Tribal Regulators Association. It's a regulators association that's made up of all the tribes here in the United States.
Oh, of all the tribes in the United States?
Yes.
Not just Wisconsin. Okay.
Yes.
I just wanted clarification on that.
Thank
but
you.
Also, I would like some more clarification on, so I can understand it better, is that you have an executive director. Are you, do you oversee that executive director, or does she work alongside you?
The gaming ordinance requires the tribe to have an executive director. So the Gaming Commission is in compliance with the gaming ordinance with regards to an executive director. The Gaming Commission hired an executive director. Currently, the executive director is Tammy Van Schindel. Tammy Van Schindel is supervised by my office as the chairperson of the Gaming Commission and reports to the Gaming Commission.
Yeah, and then she has 10 staff members.
Yes.
And those staff members oversee the 38 surveillance, or she oversees the 38 surveillance?
One of the things that has recently transpired, as I mentioned to the tribal council, is that we've been going through a retreat process. And with regards to the surveillance department, the surveillance director is Jan Jordan. Jan Jordan is supervised by myself as the chairperson of the Gaming Commission, and Jan Jordan reports to the Gaming Commission. There is an issue with regards to nepotism and conflicts of interest with regards to the family relationships. The United Gaming Commission is in compliance with the tribe's policies and procedures with regards to nepotism. So because Jan is the mother of Tammy Van Schindel, Tammy, of course, cannot supervise Jan, so therefore Jan is supervised by myself as the chairperson, by the Gaming Commission, and as I mentioned, report to the Gaming Commission, and that's action that's been taken by the Gaming Commission itself.
And Jan Jordan's title?
Surveillance Director.
Oh, so then she's the one who's over the 38 surveillance?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we do have a motion on the floor. Any further questions? I guess we're ready to vote. All those in favor of approving this report, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're going to do one more from this section, and I've had a request that we'll move on to section...
New business request.
Yeah, new business requests. So, Oneida Personnel Commission?
We have a motion to accept the report.
So, motion to accept the report. Patty Heff, second by Vince De La Rosa. Melanie.
The report has been submitted, and you can see some of our numbers have been down over the last quarter because of the cost containment that was started back in October. In regards to the reviews and the pre-screening, those numbers are down. We're starting to see a little bit more come forward. The biggest thing that we're working on right now is reviewing all of our bylaws and our SOPs. Been taking a lot of time going through each individual SOP and making changes. And then this month on our agenda, we have where we're going to be looking at our goals and objectives. And then we're still hoping to be able to work with Councilwoman Danforth on the new laws for the labor law.
Is there a motion on the floor?
No.
There is a motion.
There is?
Yes.
Oh, there is. Okay, there is a motion on the floor. Okay, are we ready to vote? I have a question. It's the due process. It's the procedures. When someone is going through a process at the Personnel Commission, and I think I'm saying this for the Appeals Commission also, I've seen instances where additional allegations can be added during the course of a trial, which puts the opposing party at a disadvantage because they're not ready to address those issues. Is the Personnel Commission looking at the very fundamental issues of due process in those hearings?
I'm trying to follow what you're asking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are you saying that when there's an actual hearing, the petitioner or the respondent will bring in additional allegations against one or the other?
Yes.
And then how do they respond during the hearing itself?
Yeah, because normally I don't believe that's done. That any time you add an additional allegation, you've got to have time to prepare your side of the story.
Right. And part of the due process is if there's new evidence that's been submitted, there's supposed to be time so that both parties can respond to whatever is being submitted. So as far as a new allegation, depending on how it's affecting the hearing would depend on how the due process would go.
Mm-hmm. Vince?
I remember an attorney that was up there a couple of years ago coming down and talking to me about procedural issues. And I know the Personnel Commission is being looked at in a broader context. It seems... It would be in my estimation that you guys have really gone way beyond what we originally intended. But now, you know, it's evolved and now there's hearings. And I'm looking at some hearings right now that are dragging on and on and on. Why? Why does this stuff go on? Do you guys ever talk to one another and say, we got to wrap these cases up? You know, we can't just leave these positions encumbered or outstanding for months and months and months. Why do these things drag on and on and on up there?
I have not been on any hearing where it's dragged on and on and on. However, I know that this occurs, it has occurred for years, where some of those cases just kind of go on and on and on. And it depends on how much evidence somebody is bringing forward so that people can question back and forth. Although when we're looking at some of the process now, we're looking at where right now when you're in a hearing, it kind of goes around the circle where the personnel commission, the hearing officers can ask questions, and then you give the respondent, you know, time to ask questions, and then the petitioner, and depending on how many witnesses, it can kind of go around and around. And it, as questions are answered, then that brings up more questions, so then you kind of go around the circle again. And and that's what ends up taking so long, because there's so many things that continue to come up, and then that just creates more and more questions. So we're starting to look at that process in and of itself to determine, do we want to just take where everybody gets two chances and then that's it, rather than going around and around and around until all of the questions are exhausted. So we have to weigh the difference in the pros and cons as to whether or not that's something that we really want to pursue, because we want to make sure that due process is given so that all those questions can be answered. But again, in terms of new evidence that's submitted, you know, you want to make sure that the respondent or the petitioner has a right to respond back to that too. You know, it's all about, you know, making sure that the due process is given.
Let's just behave.
I think I'm talking
just behave.
More about new allegations versus new evidence. You know, new allegations, you got to have time to prepare your stance on any new allegations. It's brought up at one day, and the same day, you know, you're expected to defend yourself on those things when you haven't had a chance to prepare.
And I will bring that back to the commission so that we can talk about it in terms of if there's new allegations that are brought forward during an actual hearing, because, again, it goes back to what's the relationship to the original allegations that were there.
Does the Personnel Commission follow the rules of civil procedure?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Chair, there's a motion on the floor.
Okay. So motion on the floor. One more question, and then we'll vote.
What is the motion? I didn't remember hearing it.
To accept the report.
Just to accept the report.
Oh, just to accept the report?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm a very firm believer that part of the problem within what I'm listening to today from my own personal experience is that the majority of the personnel commission doesn't understand the due process. I've been denied my due process as a personnel commissioner. And as you are aware, I have tried to bring it forward. No one has ever taken the time to sit down and hear me out at any level, even at your level. And your level is the business committee level. That's where I brought my complaints. And not all of my complaints that I brought forward were ever, I was never given the opportunity to address any of them. They might have been maybe four or five, but I was treated like a kangaroo court. And the problem that exists is that the majority of that committee or commission does not understand due process, period. Because I continuously stated, I am not being allowed my due process. I am being violated my due process. And that was my position as a personnel commission member. And to this date, I was appointed by the business committee, and that appointment was never taken away from me. I am still a personnel commission member. I am just not allowed access because of some kangaroo court type decision that was made up by the majority of the personnel commission. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, are we ready to vote? By the way, on this past Saturday, the reason I bring this up is there were due process questions at a community meeting on Saturday, so that's why I bring it up. It wasn't specifically for a personnel commission. It was just due process in general.
Okay.
Thank you. Are you ready to vote?
Yep.
All those in favor of approving the report, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to go over to section 12. There's been a request by Councilwoman Danforth that we go there because there's a lot of people here waiting for some resolve. New business requests, FY 2014 employment, compensation, and benefits. Geraldine Danforth, HR area manager, Oneida Tribal Judicial Systems, approve hiring emergency temp clerk of court appellate employees and approve posting and filing the clerk of court appellate position. Yes.
I have a motion to approve.
Okay, we have a motion by Melinda Danforth to approve.
Second by Patty Heft.
Second by Patty Heft. Discussion. Do we have discussion? Kathy? Okay. I guess we're ready to vote. All those in favor of the motion, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain. Motion carries. Next is the Governmental Services Division. Approve posting and filling two full-time home chore worker positions. Geraldine, could you fill us in on that?
I have a motion to approve.
Second.
Support.
Motion to approve. Melinda Danforth, supported by Patty Heft.
This position will assist the elders in cutting grass, snow removal, and home chore services.
Call for the question.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry. I'll one Vince, and then we'll call.
I'd only ask one thing. I understand what we're pretty much ready to move on this, but for the division directors, we have, I think, six areas that cut grass. So at some point, hopefully, we can pull these areas together. I know we've asked the division directors to work together over a year ago. So I know it's not your two responsibilities or even Susan's, but hopefully you guys are stimulating that discussion, especially through HRD when you see requests for hires, because we know we have six areas that cut grass and are all over the place. It's like, yes. Seems like you'd have one deployment area with the equipment and you'd have a schedule and everyone would work together, but maybe that's too simple. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, there's been a call for the question. All those in favor of approving the request, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Next is Governmental Services Division. Approve hiring emergency temporary fitness center specialist for employee going on maternity leave.
Motion to approve the request.
Support.
Motion made by Brandon Stevens, supported by Vince De La Rosa. Discussion. Could you clarify for us?
This is just until the employee returns in April of 2014. So it is just for a temporary position for the fitness center.
Are we ready? All those in favor of approving the request, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Section D. Central Accounting, approve posting and filling payroll department accountant position. Geraldine?
Yes, this position oversees the payroll accounting for Central Accounting. They provide guidance, direction, and Infinium assistance to the three payroll accounting assistants and provide payroll information to the employee base. So that position was just recently vacated.
So it's a vacated, funded position?
Yes.
What's the wish of the committee?
Move to approve.
Motion to approve, Paul Ninham.
Support.
Supported by Greg Mattson. Discussion. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Next on the agenda is internal audit. approve posting and filling internal audit director position.
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve, Brandon Stevens.
Second.
Seconded by Paul Linham.
Question.
Question.
Why is it limited only to in-house advertising? Or is that just the first step? It'll go...
That's the first step.
Okay.
And again, this is a funded position, and it's been there for a number of years.
Yes, it's been vacant for about 4 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay, are you ready to vote?
For longer.
All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain?
Abstain.
Motion carries. One abstention. Melinda Danforth.
Mr. Chairman, can we deal with the employment issues that are in executive session? The executive session section employment, they would be on page 4 of 4. At the end of the list there's one from the police department. I think there's just one.
Okay. Under D, executive session item, new business requests, part 2, 2014, employment, compensation, and benefits. Geraldine is the sponsor. Human Resource Area Manager, Oneida Police Department, approved 12% wage increase grant-funded for ACISS system certified employee. Chief Van Boxel, could you clarify this for us, please?
Sure. What we're trying to do is just compensate one of our people who have been certified in the ACES system. ACES means something, but nobody remembers what that means. But it's a case management system for the Wisconsin Department of Justice that they use and all the drug task force in Wisconsin. With Najee and us being the chair of that, we have access to ACES. So what we're doing is taking the information, the drug arrests, the gang intelligence, information with associates from across the state for all the folks in Najee, all the tribal law enforcement agencies, and we're sending them to one person to input all this. And because it is quite cumbersome, and that's coming from the Department of Justice, they recognize it, but they have too much money stuck into it to fix it. We have to have somebody certified to do this. So we've had one of our people doing that for quite some time now, and we were looking at ways to compensate her for that additional duties because she's taken all that stuff from the other 9 tribes or other 8 tribes. And working with HRD and time and attendance, what I'm asking for is that 12%, but only while she's actively doing that. Now, the amount of time that she spends doing that varies between 4 to 8 hours a week, and we're just looking at compensating her for that, and then it would be reimbursed by that grant, what that difference is. So it would be zero tribal contribution difference.
Mr. Chair.
So on the surface, it looks like she's getting a wage increase, increasing our tribal contribution, but at the end there's no tribal contribution difference. And then the weeks that she's like off for the week, vacation or whatever, and there's no, she doesn't do any of it, there'd be no compensation for it.
Vince.
Mm-hmm. No, there's a motion. We need a motion.
Motion to approve. It's okay. Grant funded source. Support. It makes sense.
We have a motion by Vince Della Rosa to approve, supported by Paul Linham. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now we'll go back to the Finance Committee, back to page 2 of 4.
Okay. Okay. Finance Committee, Treasurer Tina Danforth, January 3rd, 2014, Finance Committee meeting minutes to approve.
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve.
Patty Heft,
seconded by Vince Della Rosa. Discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. We'll go down to General Tribal Council. Chairman Delgado calls for special GTC meeting to reconsider GTC action approved December 15, 2013.
Mr. Chairman, what I put out in front of the committee is options for when to assign or for the to decide on the date to deal with your special call for a meeting. The chart gives you three options, option A, option B, option C. And two of the options would have us start January 31. That's a Friday. And then we'd work down from there. So what I'll do is I'll take you through each option, and then you can decide how you want to handle this. Each option has six meetings for the year. So how I've addressed the question is I've not only am giving you options for dates for your special meeting, but also for all of the meetings in 2014. Now, option A starts with a meeting in January, one in February and March, no meetings in April, May, and June, unless, of course, something comes up where we need to scramble and assign a date to something, and then July, September, November. We have a, and so that's the approach for each of the options. So option B, we would have no January meeting, and we would start February 16th. And then option C is another option to start again in January, but to have no April and May meetings.
Vince.
I did take a look at this. I'd make a, see if the committee would be in agreement with approving option B. So I'd make a motion to approve option B.
I'll second that for discussion.
When I was looking at the meeting dates, I chose, just off the top of my head, just for discussion, it was option C. I'd like to get the annual meeting concluded, especially to set the caucus dates for the election so that the community is aware of those dates, as well as the Seven Generations petition. I don't believe that we should leave that issue out there until March. I think we should get that concluded in February. And then, of course, the petitions and the referendum questions, and get that concluded in March. And then it allows for April and May and June to be open in order for the conduction of the elections. So I chose option C for that reason.
When I first heard February 16th for these two petitions on reconsideration, well, one petition and one call for from the chair's office. But if you look at where we're at right now, we haven't met with the new agent yet. We haven't brought on legal counsel yet to help us with this question. And we're a month and a week away from February 16th. That would be hard. We've got some major convincing to do, and we've got some major groundwork to do to get all the information. The agent is going to have to get out there and meet with the creditors and meet with the banks, and the lawyer needs to figure out, you know, what is our legal standing here. We're going to have to provide to general counsel, you know, the legal backing of whatever we might propose, and also the work of the agent. Larry, you mentioned earlier that possibly February might be too early also. Do you still stand by that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Chair, I understand what Councilman Danforth is saying. I'm concerned with the ramp up to the presentation for February. I'm also concerned with where the weather may go in January. I'm not a meteorologist, but I heard it's supposed to continue to be bad. So I'm saying let's move out. Let's reshuffle the deck. Let's get prepared for March. Let's move the other meeting to February. And they are expecting these weather patterns to continue. I don't know, but I understand what she's saying, but I think you're correct. I'm concerned about getting prepared for a February meeting that we probably won't have everything lined up, because we got this notice situation that we have to follow in terms of going through the secretary's office, get the information out. So I still like option B.
And the Packers are done.
And the Packers are done.
I also want to make sure you know that on March 22nd, that's a Saturday, if GTC selects the the first option that the election board is proposing for an election schedule, March 22nd is the date they're proposing for the election caucus. So, you know, depending on how you feel, too, I mean, we can present to GTC that might be a good opportunity because we could hold a caucus as part of that special meeting,
makes
so we'd
sense.
Have strong attendance at the election caucus. You know, that's if GTC selects that option for the schedule, because they're proposing three dates for the general election, July 3rd, I think that's the powwow weekend, the 12th of July, and July 20th. And they're recommending the second option, July 12th.
Okay, Vince, yours was a motion?
Option B, yeah.
Did you get a second?
Yes. Seconded that.
Okay.
You'll recognize it.
Okay. Are we ready to vote on that? Do we need more discussion
and,
on it?
And then just one more note, too, that I also included with the material a list of the pending business that still needs to go before GTC, and that includes five petitions, two referendum questions, and then I'm not sure on the status of the proposed, the two pieces of proposed legislation, the GTC meetings law and the election law amendments. There may be something else coming out of the LLC that needs to go to GTC. So we'll have to know more about that. But generally, I think this schedule will help to tackle most of that business.
Yeah.
Okay, there's been a motion to go with option B in the scheduling of...
So this would be mm-hmm. the scheduling of setting the date for your call for a special meeting, but also providing a schedule for the entire year.
Framework, mm-hmm. yeah. Framework.
I think it'll make it easier, too, for tribal members to plan their schedules as well for the whole year. And also allow for printing and mailing to prepare their workload schedules mm-hmm. In order to tackle all this workload.
Are you ready to vote? We know what the issues are there. So all those in favor of...
One more question before you vote. There's still an outstanding question with the budget meeting. I have two options there. They're both Mondays, September 22nd and 29th. So I would need you to select one of those dates. I think September 22nd would be better, only because it's not right at the cutoff line for the end of the fiscal year cycle.
We should just go with that.
Should we?
So if the motion could be amended
to understand. Yeah, it would be 22nd. 29th is cutting it a little mm-hmm. close. Anything could happen.
Okay, with the understanding that the 22nd for the budget meeting.
Yeah, the 29th.
It's usually in August.
Yeah.
But
would be under option B.
Our fiscal year budget's always in September.
I kind of think 22nd or 29th is both cutting it close, so if something doesn't happen, it's not going to happen regardless.
Continuing resolution.
Yeah, continuing resolution. So I don't think the dates there really matter. I'm kind of thinking we're looking at option B. I still would like to have that January 31st meeting as just to get it going, you know, as a part of option B, maybe having that meeting yet, but I don't know if that's too cumbersome having those meetings close together like that.
Well, the January 31st date is on a Friday, and just simply having a meeting on just the day Friday is a big change for our community. I don't know what the reaction will be.
What about the 20th?
Did a big show.
I just got a text that said that January 20th was available at the Radisson.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
From who?
Larry.
January 20th is available? Larry Barton gave that choice? Larry? Larry, sent us a text that January 20th at the Radisson is available?
Is that short? Yeah. Well, we got all the documents out.
Very short.
So we just had to notice the meeting because the packet's already been sent. Correct?
Right. We'll need a 10-day notice, and the material's already been sent. January 20th is a Monday. We'd have to confirm that. Yeah, there's, I think we put some copies on the back table for this
Kathy.
Section.
Kathy, if you want, you can have mine.
So as part of option B, January 20th is on there?
Right.
Will be included in the vote?
Yes.
Also September 22nd for the budget.
Right, January 20th is not part of the motion.
Oh, January 20th.
That just came out of the fly from the CFO.
I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So it's this. Whatever's here on option B, but we are selecting September 22nd for the budget meeting.
I think personally, for me, I like option B only because it allows everyone to have time to gear up and start working on this workload. You know, it does mean we'll have one meeting a month for the next 3 months, February, March, and April or May.
I guess I'll retract my comment. I'd like to have it soon, but the annual, but February 16th is just, what, a few weeks, a couple weeks afterwards. Okay, 20th is cutting it pretty tight.
Make up my mind.
Okay. We got it?
Plan option B then. With option B being announced.
Okay.
Not plan B. Option B
with September 22nd.
Got that, Danielle?
No, we are not reconsidering plan B. okay, we're going to vote on option B. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Next on the agenda.
Next on the agenda, Mr. Chairman, are two petitions. The first is from Loretta Matoxin. Asking for a GTC meeting so that we can consider a motion to overturn the December 15th GTC decision, similar to the reasons you're calling the special meeting. It's on here for you to acknowledge receipt and then direct that it gets the appropriate analysis. Once you make the motion to accept it, it'll go into the process to get worked on, and we'll be gearing that up for March 22nd.
Okay. You have a motion?
I'll make a motion to acknowledge receipt of the petition.
Support.
Motion by Patty Heff, second by Vince Della Rosa. Further discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Next, petitioner Yvonne Metivier, the GTC directs the OBC to create a stall mall for Oneida tribal members, small business and vendors at the empty former grocery store on Water Circle in Oneida.
Same kind of motion, and we'll be gearing up to have this ready for an April or May. April or May GTC meeting.
Okay, we have a motion to
acknowledge receipt of it.
Support.
Yeah, it'll get off the analysis. That analysis will come back to the BC.
Motion made by Patty Heff, second by Vince Della Rosa. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Unfinished business. Oneida Housing Authority proposed timelines for current housing developments. Scott Denny.
Mr. Chairman, if we could just make a motion to accept the information it was provided for us in the Development Division Director's Report.
Okay, we have a motion by
Vice Chairman
Mattson.
Seconded by Brandon.
Seconded by Brandon Stevens. Discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Request for information for 2014 first quarter Joint Business Committee Trust Committee meeting.
Well, the motion on December 11th was for myself to ask Larry to prepare the information as requested by the Trust Committee, and it says for BC review, so just see if he was able to share the information.
Yeah, we can, you know, meet the request. I would suggest that if representatives of the trust committee, the liaison, or staff want to come to the finance committee early February, we will have annual performance numbers in report form, which is pretty comprehensive, somewhat technical. The two councilmen that do attend the finance committee have privy to that information. It's public purview. We all have a sense of purely marketable securities, cash, stocks, bonds, bills. There's nothing, I'll call it, outside the normative policy construct that's in our performance reports. Of course, the S&P exceeding a 30% return this year, we're doing well, but you can assess each portfolio manager's performance relative to their accorded benchmark in the report. So we'll report that out in February. Come to the Finance Committee. You can have a copy and have access for the prior calendar year of performance 2013. Of course, we know that we'll regress back to the mean average of the market, so we don't know what 2014 will hold, but, you know, count it a good year. 2014 was an extraordinary year from a performance standpoint. Bonds, however, struggling a bit depending on duration. So, but unless there's another forum that you would like for me to report out, Finance Committee is a good forum. Just get the report, and I think that will meet with the request.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks. I'm good with that. We can go to the meeting.
Do you want to send this to the Finance Committee?
Just, I don't know, delete it. Actually, I don't even think I intended for him to have the information.
Motion to delete.
Okay. Second. Yeah.
Okay, motion to delete. Vince De La Rosa, seconded by Paul Ninham. Discussion. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain. Motion carries. Next on the agenda, I believe, are the approved National Violence Prevention Resource Center Consultant Agreement for Gang Prevention and Awareness, number 3, and also approved Gang Prevention and Awareness Community Meeting Schedule. Could we refer both of these for discussion? We did schedule a work meeting for, I believe, January 17th.
Motion to defer to a work meeting.
Support. Second.
Okay, motion made by Patty Heff, seconded by Greg Mattson. Discussion?
Discussion, Mr. Chairman. Who are we going to have at the table?
All.
With us? Everybody? Everybody?
Discussion.
Okay.
During the last work meeting, excellent, we had OPD and said they'd be there. My office said we'd prepare something also, and we'll start there.
Okay.
And the business committee, of course.
Yeah.
Okay. All those in favor of the motion to defer items 3 and 4 to the next work meeting, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. I don't know if that's for clarification. It's for the 17th, I believe.
January 17th?
January 17th, okay. Work meeting.
Okay. Put that in.
Chairman Delgado, we did discuss in that meeting that there was going to be a presentation by the Oneida Police Department, mm-hmm, with regard to what they've done in the past, what they're currently doing, and what they plan on doing, mm-hmm, and that needed to occur by the next work meeting or in the next work meeting. And then this matter was to come back to the next BC meeting scheduled for the 4th Wednesday of the month.
Yeah, it's all that discussion we had earlier this week.
It's to ensure that it doesn't fall off the BC agenda, mm-hmm, because it goes into the work, mm-hmm, group. It needs to come back to the next BC meeting as well, if you can respectfully amend your motion to include that.
Could you amend your motion to include it?
Bring
comes
it
back to the next business committee meeting. The business committee is scheduled for February 4th.
Okay.
Is that the next one in January?
The next
BC meeting in January.
The first business committee meeting in February.
Oh, okay. In February. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just so we have our timeline straight and we can keep moving forward.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great. That's understood by the motioner and seconder?
Yes.
All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain. Motion carries. Okay, we are down to new business. E-poll number three, am I right?
Oh, number two, Mr. Chairman, the sign the waiver for the book.
Number two.
I'm not sure about what that waiver is. I asked Joanne to describe more because it's, I don't know if it's just for us, for FYI, or we actually have to take formal action, but it's a book that was authored by Christina Ackley, who's a tribal member and a professor in Washington, and a colleague, and they have a foreword that's written by our tribal historian, Loretta Metoxin. The royalties of the book will be donated to the tribe. I don't know how that process will be worked out, but so that's all fine, but why a waiver? What is that?
What kind of waiver? The foreword was written during work time, so that's intellectual property. So because of that, we need the waiver.
A waiver of what? What are we waiving?
Jim's behind the flag.
Jim, could you come and talk in the microphone, please?
I don't even know what the foreword says.
It's granting the book publisher the right to reproduce our historian's work. So it's a copyright issue.
So that would be
issue.
The motion we would make?
I don't even have a copy of the foreword, first of all, which not saying that Loretta's not accurate or anything like that, but I would like to see the foreword, first of all, because I don't even know what it says about the tribe or anything to do with her history. I don't even know if it's on history. I don't know what it's about. Second of all, the contract that's copied in here, it says that 20% of the royalty, or says 20%, and then in parentheses it says 40%. So there's some X here. I'm not comfortable.
That part was corrected, the 20 and 40. Unfortunately, it happened after the documents were submitted because we had to submit the documents for the agenda.
So is it 20%?
20%.
Okay.
Defer?
I don't know. I don't have the forward, and I'm just saying that I'm not comfortable approving it because I don't have a copy of the forward, and I don't know what it says. And so if we're going to allow somebody to publish a book and we're going to get royalties off of it, I want to know what it says. So that's just my perspective. I don't know how my colleagues feel about that. But.
We wouldn't see this book if it weren't for the forward
our strong
that
Oneida
Loretta
women.
Wrote.
Vince, does somebody want to?
We can defer this, but does that cause any problems for their publishing? I thought there's some deadlines that they have to adhere to.
Can you get us a copy of it by this afternoon?
I believe I can, yes. Okay. I'm comfortable with tabling it till the end of the agenda.
Okay.
Or whatever.
Okay. There's been a motion to table till later in the afternoon.
Do I send it to Danielle or to Patty?
Send it to all of us directly so you get it to us fast.
Second.
And Danielle.
Second.
Motion made by Melinda Danforth, seconded by Brandon Stevens.
To table.
All those in favor of the tabling until later this afternoon, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Mm-hmm. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Kathy.
When you guys went into executive session for 6 or 7 or 8 days or whatever it was, I had requested with the secretary's office and with others that I wanted to be called because I wanted to be here when you came out of executive session and did your motions. And I never received a courtesy call. I didn't even know yous were going on and on and on every day. I would have been nice to receive a courtesy call. But today, I'd like to be here this afternoon when you pick up your conversation on this book. And I would appreciate it if someone could call me, you know, or maybe you could have it right at 1:30. But I'd like to be here when you carry on your discussion about this book. And can I get a phone call on that, or is that okay for somebody to ask to be here when you come out of your executive session or have special items at a certain time, you know, to be able to be here and hear that discussion, to witness it, see it? Even if there is a camera, you never get the video for weeks. But I'd like to be here this afternoon. I don't want to sit here all afternoon, but
what I'm saying? We are going to go for lunch recess probably within the next 5 or 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
We'll reconvene at 1:30. We can't say for sure if that issue will come up first, but we will reconvene
now
at 1:30.
Now you're bouncing all over on the pages. It's hard to follow your packet.
Yeah, it's also hard to find us, go back and find ourselves too. So
I hope the book's not written that way, you know.
The book is written by a tribal member who wishes to donate the royalties to the tribe. Mm-hmm.
I just want to read the foreword.
Okay. Number three, under new business, EPOL retro-approve appointment of Councilwoman Melinda J. Danforth and Comprehensive Health Director Debbie Danforth to U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Tribal Advisory Committee.
This is actually a nomination. We're asking for Oneida to be appointed to this committee, but we have to be nominated from Oneida, so we ask for that permission.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I make a motion to approve our EPOL.
Second.
And approve the nomination, of course.
Okay. Motion by Vince Della Rosa to approve, seconded by
Patty Heft.
Patty Heft. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain?
Abstain.
Motion carries, one abstention, Melinda Danforth. Number four, boards, committees, and commissions approve postings of vacancies to occur throughout 2014 on the boards, committees, and commissions.
Mr. Chairman, can we defer this to later this afternoon then? It'll give me time to make copies of the report. What I'm going to hand out to you is just a list of the appointed positions that are expiring in 2014 and ask for us to give the approval to post those positions throughout the year when the time comes rather than us coming, 30 days before the expiration.
Motion to table.
Okay, motion to table till later on this afternoon. Melinda Danforth, seconded by Paul Ninham. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Could we go into recess until 1:30?
Could we just do the travel request for Michelle?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Travel requests, retail approved procedural exception for cost containment resolution for three employees to S. Abraham and Sons Spring Vendor Exhibit and Trade Show, February 27, 28, 2014, Grand Rapids, Michigan. Michelle Dockstader, sponsor.
Rundown area.
The trade show is an annual event that brings all the manufacturers together with the through our supplier and all the convenience store customers of SAS. There are three people going, and normally we would only send two, but I am listening to you. It takes a little while. The category manager goes to set up promotions for the full year, and by doing that directly with the manufacturers, they set it up on the calendar, and we save a ton of money by doing that. The other two people going is the operations manager and the marketing director. Those two people will be networking with other C-store owners that are not in our area to look at what's new in the industry. What we're looking for is new revenue streams within the stores, something I think you've been asking for, but we really want to research what those are and what's available to us through our supplier. And by talking to other people who are doing those kinds of things, what's working, what's not working, I really think it'll be of value to us.
Mr. Chair, move to approve.
Motion, Paul Ninham to approve the request.
Just second. To note, it's a procedural exception.
Mm-hmm.
Second.
Second by Greg Mattson. Discussion. It's February in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Woo-woo.
They are some dedicated employees. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Now can we?
Motion. Or Pat, are you here for something?
Nope. That's getting deferred.
It's going to get deferred.
That's getting deferred.
Sorry. That's sorry.
We'll keep you updated on that, though.
It's a big picture question we got to answer.
Okay. Motion to recess at 12:04 and reconvene at 1:30 p.m.
And also there is a third and fourth grade fundraiser at the Parish Hall for their basketball tournament fees.
Bunch of food. Tacos, corn soup, and
Parish Hall.
Okay. Chili. Yep.
A second to the recess motion.
Okay, we have a motion made by do you have a second by whom?
Sir, support.
Vince.
Vince Delarosa. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Motion carries.
You buy me lunch down into third grade?
You're free, counselor.
Motion to come out of recess.
Second.
At 1:37.
Motion by Melinda Danforth. Come out of recess. Supported by Vince Delarosa. Time is 1:37. All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. We're back in session. Going to reports. Chief Counsel report. Any questions on that? Any highlights needed?
Motion to approve.
We have a motion by Brandon Stevens to approve the report.
Second by Patty Heft.
Seconded by Patty. All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, I'll let you go through.
Okay, we ledge affairs.
Starting with item A under Chief Counsel report.
Okay.
So generally, Chief Counsel, they give a verbal overview report, but then they have specific items that are listed on the agenda that need action.
Okay. You want to give a quick overview on that, Jim?
No, we approved that already. So the report itself is an overview of all the issues that they deal with, and we just approved that. And then generally they have specific things that need its own motion, and those are listed on the agenda, A and B.
Item A will need a motion on.
I'll make a motion to refer that to the chairman's office to set up a special work meeting and bring back a recommendation to the business committee in 2 weeks.
We have a motion by Patty Heft.
Second.
Seconded by Paul Ninham. All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Item B, authorizing to engage law firm for trademark.
I'll make a motion to approve, Mr. Chairman, their plan on how to do that.
A motion by Patty Heft is stated.
Support.
Supported by Vince Delarosa. All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Now we'll have ledger affairs.
I'll make a motion to accept the verbal report.
Second.
Motion by Patty Heft as stated, supported by Brandon Stevens. All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstention?
Abstain.
One abstention, Melinda Danforth. Motion carries. Number three, Chief Financial Officer's bimonthly report.
Move to approve.
Move to approve by Paul Ninham.
Second.
Seconded by Brandon Stevens.
I just had a question. Was that a handout?
Yes. That was a handout at the meeting.
Okay. I'll have to get that.
Okay, we have a motion with support. All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions?
Abstain.
One abstention, Melinda Danforth. Motion carries. Audit committee, Brandon?
Let's see. Kind of want to do... we'll do them one by one, I guess. Motion to accept, to approve the November 21st Audit Committee meeting minutes.
Motion by Brandon Stevens is stated, supported by Melinda Danforth. All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Item 2 is December 12th, 2013 Audit Committee.
Motion to approve.
Motion by Brandon Stevens.
Second.
Seconded by Patty Heft. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Item 3 is Internal Audit November Report with attachments.
Motion to accept.
Second.
Motion by Patty Heft to accept. Supported by Paul Ninham. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Item 4, approve the following audit reports. They're listed as Oneida Golf Enterprise, Table Games Compliance, Item C, Information Technology Compliance, D, Card Games and Poker Rules, Item E, Player Tracking Compliance, Item F, Blackjack Rules and Play Audit, Item G, Drop and Count Compliance, H, Cage Vault Compliance, Item I is 2013 Gaming Contracts, and J is Slot Compliance Audit.
Motion to approve the following audits, A through J, and lift the confidentiality requirement allowing tribal members to view each audit.
Second.
A motion by Brandon Stevens as stated, supported by Paul Ninham. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Unfinished business. Item 1 is the proposed interim enterprise division director assignment.
What did we do? We didn't decide.
I think we need to get this at a special work meeting and come up with the final result.
Did we decide when there was going to be another special work? Can we put it on that one?
We could. We have one in January. We could send
17th.
It to we could approve the extension until our next February BC meeting, and then we should have a decision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll make a motion to continue to extend the proposed interim enterprise division director assignment until the first business committee meeting in February, when we should have a final resolve.
Second.
We have a motion by Patty Heft as stated, supported by Brandon Stevens.
Discussion, but then the intent is that during that period we're going to have some meetings with her and us to figure this out.
Correct.
Okay.
Let the record show. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
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 Opposed?
Opposed.
One opposition, Tina Danforth. Abstentions? Motion carries. New business, we have the approval of one new enrollment.
Mr. Chairman, move to approve the one new enrollment.
A motion by Paul Ninham to approve.
Second.
Seconded by Brandon Stevens. All those in favor of that
discussion,
motion?
Please.
Discussion, Tina?
You know, it's real important for record keeping and tracking that we name the individual that's being approved for enrollments. How do you find it if you don't know who it was? So I think it needs to be a part of the motion to approve the enrollment for the specific individual.
I don't think so, because normally we'd have 50 to 100 enrollments, and we wouldn't put that in a motion.
Well, you usually have the backup, and so you reference the backup. I just think it's important for tracking. And it's one person, so you could say one name versus 150.
I would recommend that those formatting changes be sent over to the trust committee so that they can propose to us how best to present this information. Would that be appropriate, Melinda?
We already did that. I mean, this is the format that the committee had requested. So
in the trust
it's all about how you want to make the motions, I guess. So the information is there. The names are on the forms. So.
Call for the question.
We have a motion to approve with support. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
Abstain.
One abstention, Tina Danforth. Motion carries. We did item 2.
Item 3.
Item 3 would be to approve the Wells Fargo Bank Rabbi Trust Agreement.
Did we delete number 2?
Make a motion to approve.
We approve it.
the Rabbi Trust Agreement.
Support.
We have a motion by Vince Delarosa to approve, supported by Paul Ninam. Discussion. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstention?
Abstain.
One abstention, Melinda Danforth. Motion carries. Item four, request deadline extension for proposed ATM service agreement for the Menominee Kenosha facility.
Mr. Chairman, we did not have a time. We didn't have a chance to discuss that. We didn't have the backup. We just got backup today. I would defer this to the next BC meeting.
Second.
A motion to defer by Patty Heft.
Support.
Supported by Paul Ninam. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries.
We have two tabled items. The first is the waiver for the forward in the book.
I'll make a motion to defer this item to the next business committee meeting with the understanding that there's a possibility that there may be e-poll depending upon the publication deadlines. Oh, sorry. Take it for the table. Motion to take
second.
From the table.
I have a motion to take from the table by Melinda Danforth, supported by Paul Ninam. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
So then my motion to defer to the next business committee meetings with the understanding that there's possibility of an e-poll because we're not sure about the publication deadlines.
Second.
Motion as stated by Melinda Danforth, supported by Paul Ninam. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstention?
Abstain.
One abstention, Tina Danforth. Motion carries.
From Patty.
The last item, Mr. Chairman, is a tabled item regarding the appointments of various board member seats for 2014. So what I'm asking the committee to do is to make one motion to approve the postings when appropriate for all of these that are listed.
Mr. Chairman, move to take from the table.
Support.
A motion to take from the table by Paul Ninam, supported by Melinda Danforth. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. We've got it off the table.
And then my motion is to approve for posting throughout 2014 for the seats in the form submitted today.
A motion by Patty Heft is stated, supported by Vince Delarosa. Discussion? Chaz?
Just a suggestion. I think we've been consistently having qualifications for postings, but we don't necessarily have what they do. So I think we want, if the intent is to recruit the best possible candidates, then we need to tell them what they do as well as having the qualifications. And I just go back to, this has been brought up before, but it's never really been acted on by the business committee. So just as a suggestion, at least put on there what they do in your list. Thank you.
Okay, good point. Take it for noted. We'll figure out what to do on that.
Can we just note that the positions that are going to be up in 2014 are three IRB board positions, a library board position, three ONVAC, two police commissioners, three SEATS board members, and two Anajah Nursing Home board members.
Yes, in the motion. Yes.
Just, yeah.
So we have the motion with support. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Move to adjourn, Mr. Chairman.
We have a motion to adjourn by Paul Ninam.
Support.
Supported by Vince Delarosa. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Good job, Mr. Chairman.
Good job.